जयम शुपाल श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षि प्रभुपाद की जय। जयम प्रविष्ट विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षि प्रभुपाद की आनंद गोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरगिरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु वन गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमामि शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमति भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीगुरोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरधीमनीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा पुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमनं तं नमामि हरिं वरं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्मयादितरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदयादिगमये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वायुमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहगं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैतवोत्रपरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यमरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभि शिशुषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गणितं फलं शुभमुखादमृगद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिकाभुविभावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यम् वैवायनो व्यहकादरमाजुहवान् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरमो विनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यवल्पदीपमदितिदीर्षतं तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकाभिकापिकापि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां
పాదరేణుమ భీష్ణశ యాసం హరిహదోద్గీతం పునాదీ భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధవాసహాయమతి సుందర మందహాసం వరాలయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేద వేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ భాసతాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపానమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధయాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రీ ద్విజ ఉచ నాయం జనో మే సుఖదుఃఖహేతు నేవలాల్మా గ్రహకర్మకాళ మనఃపరం కారణమామనంది సంసారచక్రం పరివర్తయేద్యల్. మనోగుణాన్వై సృజతే బలీయం తదశ్చకర్మాణి విలక్షణాని శుక్లాని కృష్ణాన్యథ లోహితాని తేభ్యః సవర్ణశ్రుతయో భవంతి. కృష్ణ సేస్ మనో గుణాన్వై సృజతే బలీయం. యెస్టర్డే వి వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ దాట్. కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మణస్ కోటింగ్ బ్రహ్మణ సేస్ దట్ ది మైండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ ఎ స్లేవ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ అండ్ ది వి సా ద త్రీ థింగ్స్ ద ఈవెంట్స్ ద పీపుల్ and the objects, they create, influence the mind. The mind is a slave of those things which is outside, number one. Number two, the problem with the mind is that jiva has this nature to go and identify with all the thoughts that's going through the mind. So this identification is a problem for the mind, and as well as the influences from the world outside. So we have seen here that the mind is got this difficulty that it's always has to be have some association. Mind requires association and it cannot remain on its own. And the jiva's problem is jiva also wants to go and identify with the mind. So because we saw yesterday that we mentioned this specifically in the Bhagavatam also, Krishna says that everything in the world is gunamayam, isn't it? Modes of nature. Everything. Except Krishna, everything is gunamayam. That is why in the chapter after this, two chapters from now, you will see in the Gunatra Vibhagam, that Gunatra Vibhaga Yoga, which comes here, which is in the Bhagavad Gita, but Krishna is saying that Trigunyal Bhinna Bhedam, this variety in the creation has happened because of modes of nature. And based on that, Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Traigunyal Bhinna Vedam Bhavadihi Bhuvane Heenam Madhyamam Uttamam. That is how that classification is. Uttamam means Satvikam, Madhyamam is Rajasam, Athamam or Heenam is Tamasam. So, Traigunyal Bhinna Vedam Bhavadihi Bhuvane Heenam Madhyamam Uttamam. And how does it affect? It affects everything in us. Everything. Jnanam. Our knowledge is Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. The same knowledge, three of us will take in three different ways. One person will take in Satvikam, one will accept in Rajasam, one will accept in Tamasam. Jnanam. Our Shraddha is in Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. So, our mind, which is influenced by the modes of nature, from the outside, as Krishna says, which creates Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti in us. Along with that, it creates all these variations in people. This is why we are all different. One thing that's spoken, three people will understand in three different ways because of this. Because this is the reason behind that. Jnanam is different, Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. Shraddha is different, Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. Similarly, Karta, the person who is doing that, is different. Jnanam, Shraddha, Karta. The person who is the Kartabhavam, I am the doer, that varies from person to person. Place where we live, Vasati, is different. Yeah, again, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam will have its effect there. Sukham, our happiness in life is different. Somebody will be having experience of Satvyam, happiness in Satvyam. Somebody will have a Rajasic happiness. Somebody will have a Tamasic happiness. Karma, our karma varies. Satvyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Then Aharam, the food, what we eat, our liking for the food will vary. Satvyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Again, you can see that variation in everyone, isn't it? Some people like sweet, some people like savory, some people like very hot food. Different ways. Jnanam, Shraddha, Chakartha, Vasati, Rabi, Sukham, Karma, Chahara, Vedaha. Why did all these variations come in people? Because of Gunam, Trigunam. Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. Then, who does not have this? Tval Kshetratvam Nishevaditu. Krishna is not affected by the modes of nature. Only Krishna is not affected by the modes of nature. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that the Alma is never under modes of nature. Krishna, when Krishna says anything, he's always speaking as Alma. Alma is never under modes of nature. And everything in relationship with Alma is not under modes of nature. Nirgunyam. Nirgunam it is. That is why temple is supposed to be under the, not under three modes of nature. And everything in relationship with Krishna is not under the three modes of nature. So, and because the mind has got this difficulty, that it will always go and pick up the modes of nature from the world. And it keeps building up inside. And we have seen yesterday that as much as the modes of nature has influenced the mind, our tamogunam will develop further. Because modes of nature generally it is rajogunam, tamogunam. When rajogunam and tamogunam builds up inside, tamogunam creates desires inside. When the desires are built up, that tamogunam itself is avidya. Avidya means ajnanam. Ajnanam's one manifestation is that avidya inside us. And from that avidya, from avidya or tamogunam, desires have come. And the desires have developed into, desires has developed into karma. Is it not? Desires pushes us into engaging karma. Once we have engaged in the karma, that the karma will have its results also. Karma phalam will come from that. So karma will lead to janmam. When the phalam comes, karmam doesn't, if you do the karmam and karmam goes away, finished, it's not like bad. But what does karmam does is, it creates karmavasana inside us and it will create janmam in us. Karmavasana means next life, another life, isn't it? Karmam creates vasana and it will go. It will give you results, no doubt. Karma phalam is there, but karmavasana is also there. So it will create karmavasana inside us and it will give us karma phalam and the karmam leaves us. But what happened? That karma vasana, which the karma has planted inside us, will generate a fresh body for us. Krishna says, explains that very well in the Bhagavatam. So after that, the karma has gone, the karma vasana has come, and another janmam has come. So from avidya, tamogunam, desires, karmam, janmam. So all these four, which means tamogunam and tamogunam, desires, and then karmam, janmam. All these four things, where do they stay? They stay in avidya. It is avidya is the basis from where everything has begun. So, so if the mind is always busy with the world, if the mind is always busy with the world, what will the mind have? Mind will only have that gunam, gunabhav, what has come from the world. What else can it be? What else can it be? That is the reason it is so difficult to get out of material existence. This is the reason behind that. And this samsaram, material existence, what we say material existence or samsaram, it is the most difficult thing because of this mind's association with the gunabhava or the world. This is the only reason why Shastram is saying to us that shift your attention from the world to Atma, to the Self. Atma, Krishna, has no modes of nature. Till it makes that contact with Atma or Krishna, this gunabhavam will keep increasing. The more we are, the many great personalities you can see, devotees, jnanis, they know this. That is why 24 hours they engage in this, as much as possible. Most of the time either chanting or reading Srimad Bhagavatam or in deity worship, or in this way, somehow or the other, to keep the mind occupied with Krishna rather than with anything else in this world. This is the escape route. There is no other way. So moment you forget Krishna, you will start thinking about the world, isn't it? Or the experiences of this world. So, and if you start thinking about the world, gunabhavam will increase. Modes of nature will get inside. And the modes of nature will start building up. So, once the gunabhavam increases, then samsara, material existence, that material world, experience of the material world will increase. If your gunabhavam increases, then samsara anubhavam, the experience of the material world, will increase. And when the samsara material experience increases, karma will come. And for the sake of the results, another janmam will come. All these things, who has done that? The whole thing was done by the mind. And that is why mind is called very powerful. You see that verse? Mano gunanvai srijate beliyam. Beliyam it is. It's so strong, the mind. He makes the decision. Nobody else makes the decision, basically. He is the one who is the decision maker. Mano gunanvai srijate beliyam. He says, is Beliyam. So, and if you ask the question, is the mind a real thing? No. Mind is not a real thing. Mind is not a real thing. Because mind is nothing but avidya. Isn't it? Mind is nothing but avidya. And so, nothing else. So, if the avidya is there, mind is there. And just like, if avidya is there, mind is there. If avidya is not there, mind is not there. That is the problem. If you ask, mind is a real thing? No, mind is not a real thing. Because if there is avidya there, that is why the mind is there. But if the avidya goes away, then there is no mind anymore after that. They give this example, the clay and the pot. They call us karyam and karanam. Karyam is the effect. Karanam is the cause. Karanam is the cause. Karyam is the effect. Clay is the cause. Pot is the effect. Isn't it? Clay is the cause, pot is the effect. So, because the pot is there, these variations have come in there, in the sense, as long as there is clay there, pot will be there. As long as clay is there, pot will be there. And one day the pot will break and it will become clay again. Originally there was only clay, and then we made the pot out of it. And when the pot gets destroyed, it goes back to clay again, isn't it? That is the nature of that. So, you can say clay is the cause and pot is the effect. And that we can understand. Similarly, you can ask the question that the pot was made from the clay. But why do you make the pot then? Why don't you stay away from not making the pot? Why do you have to make the pot? But that you can't say, because the person who is making the pot, he has to make the pot and sell to make his living. Is it not? So that cannot be asked. That question is not possible. And that is his livelihood, to make the pot. Similarly, Maya has to create this situation. Maya, if you ask the question, that why does Maya create all these things, three modes of material nature? Why is Maya doing that? No, you can't ask that question, because Maya has been created for this purpose. Maya has been created for this purpose. And therefore, the mind will be there. Therefore, the mind will be there. That's all it is. If the Maya is there, modes of nature will be there. Modes of nature is there, avidya will be there. Modes of nature means avidya will be there. If avidya is there, mind will be there. If the mind is there, desires will be there. If desires will be there, karma will be there. Karma will be there means there will be karma, karma vasana will be there, and there will be birth will be there after that. Janma will be there. So, in this Avadhuta Brahmana or this Avanti Brahmana is saying here that if we understand this process, how it works, and instead if we develop pure Krishna consciousness, and through Krishna consciousness turn the attention inward, and not to worry about what goes on in this world. That is the process. Not to worry about what goes on in this world. And we will always think, oh, how can you say like that? I have got so many things to do. This is the first thing the mind will come out with, this idea. That avidya works so fast that I have got, this is urgent, this has to be done. It's Christmas Eve today, it has to be done. I can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Christmas, the shopping has to be completed today. Otherwise, day after tomorrow, well, who knows what I'm, tomorrow is Christmas, isn't it? So, all these thoughts mind will create inside. The last minute shopping, as they call it. Isn't it? So, it will make you nervous like this. I have not done this. So many people are worrying about that. As though the shops are going to get shut down tomorrow, and then the shops will never open day after. So, this is the way the mind frightens you. First thing the mind does is, it frightens you. And then a fear creates inside. And this is all the job of the mind. Mind's job is like that, isn't it? And instead of getting frightened over all these kind of things, let it happen its own way. We can have another Christmas, another day. In that way, to think about that, and whatever happens in the world, not to allow that, it is not going to affect me. This approach need to take. Whatever happens in the world, it's not going to affect me. And that is the reality also. What the world does is, Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam earlier also, that it will frighten you all the time. The world frightens us, isn't it? In one way or the other. It is expecting from you all the time. And it's not the fault of the world. You have created yourself within you this fear. Then I have to do this, otherwise the society, what do they do, think about me? So if you are able to stay quiet without getting affected by all these forced demands, what is coming to us, and that is what is known as titiksha. Titiksha is that quality. And if you do not follow this principle, it will never be possible to get out of this place. It will never be possible to get out of this place. So, that is why one who has come to spiritual life, for him, the greatest quality needed is this titiksha. Titiksha means this, that whatever the world says, let not disturb us inside in any way. Titiksha's another aspect of that is this, not to get influenced by the world to such an extent. Just like we feel affected by the worldly demands, isn't it? From the society, from the family, from the friends, from this, from that, everything. So, first thing is this titiksha. There are two things normally they say, one who has come to spiritual life, two important things. One is this titiksha and the second one is Shraddha. Second one is Shraddha. Titiksha means to tolerate everything, and anything what happens in life, not to go fighting against that. Move away from there as much as possible. And because if you start fighting against that, you won't win. That is because of the modes of nature is like that. So, therefore, whatever happens, just to tolerate it. That's it. People will say, oh, that's your weakness, or you are very covered, and that is why you are doing like that. Let them say what they have to say. What can you do? Because there is no other way to get the mind under control. And no matter what others think about us, instead of that you have to make this decision that for Krishna's sake, I have to do this. To have Krishna, this is necessary. Because Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavad. This whole Bhikshugita has come to teach us that Diksha. How that Brahmana showed that Diksha. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, people have done this. And they have succeeded in life, in spiritual life. Because they kept this as the top priority compared to all other things in this world. So, the only way, if you continuously remember Krishna somehow, then it is possible the mind will fail. Mind can't do anything after that. Because mind loses the battle there. Mind loses the battle there. So, the process is never allowing the mind even for a second to go into the world, to absorb itself. In that case, the mind will surrender. Mind will surrender. And continuously engage the mind, somehow or the other, in Krishna's service. In Krishna's service. Because if the mind has come to surrender, then we will be able to understand the tattvam what Krishna is talking about. And if the mind moves away, then there is nothing else to be done after that. If the mind is gone, avidya is gone, and everything that is related to avidya will also go. Once the mind goes away, experience of the self will come back to us. So, it is already there, the self is already there, the knowledge is already there in us. But mind is not allowing that to manifest in us. That's what is happening. Ajnanam or avidya is covering the soul. This is the reason that we are not able to experience the presence of Atma inside, presence of Krishna inside. So, once we know this, what happens is, it is at that stage, when this coverage of the mind is completely gone away, that is when we realize what Parikshit realized, that we were never born. There is no thing called death. This is Parikshit's realization, isn't it? When he said that, Tumdurajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Imam Jehi, he said that Pashubuddhi will go away from us. And Pashubuddhi Imam Jehi, Na Jadaha, we were not born. That time we will realize it, when the mind goes away completely from us. But why all of these things are happening? Why we are experiencing all of these things? Because of the powerful mind. Powerful mind. That's what it's saying here. Mano gunanvai srijate beliyam stalascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnani adalohidani tebhya savarna sridayo bhavandi. That verse is saying all these things to us. Mano gunanvai srijate beliyam. Then, and this mind which is very very powerful, because it goes and associates with objects outside, which is full of gunam, three modes of material nature, it increases the gunabhavam inside. And when the gunabhavam increases, karma begins. And what kind of karma? Vilakshanam. Vilakshanam, it says here, tatascha karmaani vilakshanani. Vilakshanani, in other words, vilakshanani means, when the gunam increases, desires will increase. That is the nature. When the gunam increases, desires will increase. When the desires increases, in order to fulfill those desires, we will feel like engaging in karma. Engaging in karma. At that point, karma will increase. That is understandable, isn't it? If we have a lot of desires, we have to work very hard for that, to fulfill all those desires. So, Krishna is saying here, when the karma increases, karma will turn into these three ways. Shuklani, Krishnani, Atha Lohigani, he says. Sattugunam, Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam, it will become. And all the result of that is, Tebhya Savarna Spradayo Bhavandi. If the Sattugunam increases in us, suppose you have made the contact in such a way that your Sattugunam has gone up, then you will take the birth of Devas, demigods, or higher living entities, or higher living entities, or even in the human species, in a higher position, you will get birth in a higher level. Higher level means with the sattvika nature, brahmana, or in the brahminical culture, or in such a way that you will get the birth. And if the rajogunam has increased, then you will definitely take birth as a human body, Or some species like the ghosts and things like that also you can get bodham, they are saying that. So, and if your tamogunam increases, then you will go into the lower species, which means birds, animals, bees and things like that, or plants, trees, all these birds can happen in the lower species. So, in this way, in several species we get the birth, and after passing through so many species like this, again we get the human form. We'll come back to the human form. So after so many lifetimes, we have been given this human form. We have been given this human form. And when we get that human form, this is the opportunity where you can understand all these things, what Krishna is talking about. And if you have that opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when you get a human form of life, and if you utilize it properly, there is nothing higher than that to get the benefit from that. Because a jiva, when to know that, why he is in distress, that itself is a big thing for a jiva when he is suffering here. When he is suffering here, when he comes to know why he has been put into this awkward situation, that itself is a big thing. And only if he knows the reason behind it, he will be slowly able to come out of it. So, and utilize that understanding in such a way that little by little he can reduce that gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means the association with the modes of nature, and create that andarmukhatvam, inward looking nature, bhakti, upasana, all these things he can increase at that point. Increase at that point. That is what Krishna is saying here. Mano gunanvai srijade beliyam. Sadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnanyada lohidani tebhya savarna sradayo bhavandi. So, as we saw, mind is a very, very powerful instrument. Very, very powerful instrument. Controlled by the external factors. Isn't it? Controlled by the external factors. And also, my own past vasanas, what I have created. So, because it's a powerful instrument, there is a few things here. Not a powerful instrument of me, but a powerful instrument in the hand of the external world. Not in my hand. In the hands of the external world, the mind is a powerful instrument. And it can become inimical to me, like Krishna says in the 6th chapter. Isn't it? Friend or enemy, Krishna says there. So, the mind, when it is very agitated, if it gets angry, it becomes my enemy. Isn't it? It will do damage to me. That is why beliyaha manaha. And the powerful mind is a slave of the external factors. So slave of the external factors. And the vasanas of the past. Vasanas of the past. What I have created. So gunan srijade. Krishna says there, isn't it? Gunan vai srijade beliyaha. So, mind, what it does is, it constantly produces the thoughts. Thoughts are called gunavritti. Gunavritti they are called. So, thoughts are determined by whom? Thoughts are determined by me, in the sense that it is not my instrument. At any time, when thoughts happens in my mind, I do not determine them. It comes. Thoughts naturally comes to us. We don't think, oh, I'm going to sit now and start thinking about something. No, I'm always under the influence of the thoughts that's coming to me. Is it not? So, just like, suppose you are sitting at home, suddenly the thoughts comes about your son. He's thinking about you. You're thinking about him. But you're not planned that. It came to your mind in such a way. Or daughter, whoever it is, in the close to you. So, that is why it is said, look at the nature of the mind. They say, mind is like a public convenience. It's like a toilet it is. Open to all. Anyone can come in, do what they want, can go. It is like that, is it not? Mind is like that. What control have we got on the mind? Therefore, in the Vedanta, they call mind as a public toilet. For anybody can come, anyone can come. It is open to all. Anybody can come, walk in and do what they want, they can go when they want. That's open to them. So anybody, gate crashes anytime. Gate crash anytime. So it's a public convenience. Similarly, people, objects, events, all of them will come into the mind anytime, and they create anger, hatred, jealousy, frustration, worry, fear, and then they go. They come and they do all these things and go. Therefore, thoughts are generated constantly. They come and they create these thought waves and then they go away, isn't it? Helplessly. So, I don't have a say on this. I don't have any say about it, on these thoughts. And therefore, Krishna is saying here, gunanvai srijade baliyam. That is why that word is used. Mano gunanvai srijade baliyam. Why mind is powerful? Because he is not under your control. It is under the control of the Gunabhava, the three modes of nature. See that? Again, Krishna says to Arjuna also, isn't it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Gunam gunam is saying, you are not doing anything. Everything gunam is doing. But we are not able to come to terms with that. We are still able to thinking only that I am doing it. What Krishna says to Arjuna is the same thing, isn't it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Only thing is, I want to take credit for that. Ahankara vimodhalma karta hamimanyare. So in the same way, that the gunanvai, that is the same principle. Mano gunanvai srajade beliyam. Because gunam is powerful and mind is powerful because it gets its strength from the three modes of nature, not from us. Mind gets its strength from the three modes of material nature, not from us. That's the important point. Mano gunanvai srajade beliyam. So the gunam, which is very, very powerful, they makes the give the strength for the mind. They give the strength for the mind. You are completely helpless about it. Except that it will do what it wants and it will go. And you are just as a witness, you have to be remaining there for that. And thoughts, they don't remain at the thought level. But if the thought comes and goes away, it's not too bad. But when they become, suppose that thought that has come and you are unable to get rid of it, it stays with you. And it keeps on repeating that thoughts is churning inside for a while, then what will happen? That's Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. What? Dhyayato vishayapam san sangaste shubha jayate sangal sanjayate kaman kamal krotho vijayate krodhal bhavati samoha samohal smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshal buddhinasho buddhinashal pranashyate. So, can you imagine the three modes of nature, what all it capable of doing? It can come in, make the mind very strong, and we have no control over that mind. It creates the thought waves, and if that thought waves becomes a meditation, that means repetition again and again, it creates a repetition inside, and the thought waves becomes very powerful, that means it becomes dhyana. When the thought waves become very powerful or becomes very strong, that is when it's called a dhyanam, meditation, isn't it? So, dhyayado vishayapam san, that means whatever dhyanam is happening is all based on the vishayam, sense objects. And sangam happens then, established relationship firmly between them. So, varieties of action will develop from that. From that meditation of the, or the thought waves of based on this gunabhava, action will develop from that. And actions are not determined by me, that means. Actions are not determined by me, they are determined by the gunabhava that has come inside, isn't it? And when I shout in anger, and then I am getting angry about something didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen, I get angry about that, and then I start shouting. It's not a deliberate action, because I do, it is an impulsive action. It's not a deliberate thing. That is what we call it, deliberate action and impulsive action. It's not happened under my control. It has happened because of the prakriti that has got inside me. And impulsive action takes place, and I am not even aware that the mind is under the grip of this rage. What's happening? And I shout and do action. After that, I regret myself for what has happened. I lost control, isn't it? Somebody else has come in, created all the trouble and gone away, and I am victimized by that, isn't it? So, as you study these things, you will notice one thing, that two things. One thing, that the actions that has happened due to the influence of the modes of nature, and those actions which have happened due to your vasanas. So, mechanical actions are all determined by the vasanas. And vasanas are vasanas are born thoughts, they are called. That means this differentiation is necessary to know where it's coming from. Sometimes you act out of impulse, we say. They murder somebody out of impulse, they say, murder. There, it's a modes of action that is done. It was not predetermined or planned. Whereas those actions that has happened in a mechanical way, but at the same time, that they were determined by the vasanas inside. Vasanas have created that. So, you can see, 90% of our waking life is impulsive life. If you carefully notice that, is impulsive life. Most of the time, we live in absentia. We are not present in the action. So many things you might have thought about it, but you know that if you look in your regular life, you will see many things you are doing just on an impulsive basis. Impulsive basis, you are getting up in the morning. Not that you are planning anything. At that time comes, you get up and then you do things, what is necessary, you can go into the bathroom, wash yourself, all other things, breakfast, go into office. It's all happening one after the other. It's not that every day you are planning all of these things. You know that these things has to be done. So when you get, will come, only what thoughts, even while you are brushing your teeth, you are thinking what thoughts are coming. A lot of thoughts are still coming into your mind, isn't it? So, and those thoughts can create either anger in you, suppose you are unhappy with something, or some depression in your mind, regret or worry throughout the day, it can continue about something that has you are concerned about seriously, isn't it? So, Bhikshu is saying here, you can see, tadascha karmani vilakshanani, Bhikshu's words. Tadascha karmani vilakshanani, he says. Vilakshanani means different types of activity. Different types of activity. Mano gunanvai srijade beliyam. Mind has become very powerful. How? Due to the influence of the gunabhav, the three modes of nature. And the result of that, tadascha karmam comes from that. Tamogunam builds up, desires builds up, karmam comes from that. When karmam comes from that, it's not one karmam that comes from that. Vilakshanani, different types of karma comes from that. Isn't it? Different types of activities. So, and that even you can see in your own spiritual life if you look at how it works. It even comes to your spiritual life. The same thing happens to the spiritual life. What happens is there, suppose I read a book, some spiritual text, and it doesn't matter. Some great authority, great personality has written a book. I read the book. It inspired me for a few minutes. And then I started doing everything, what the book says. What that book says, isn't it? And what will happen is, I'll follow that book. And after that, say for example, Uddhava's, this instructions to Uddhava. You hear this, for a couple of days you feel very inspired about Avanti Brahmana's experiences. And then you start thinking that this is the way I have to go now. And you start doing that. And after a while, I lose that. It's gone. It's gone. After 2 days, that's gone. And then what happened was, you went for a kirtan mela somewhere. So you heard a lot of kirtan, you got inspired by the kirtan. And then you start deciding, from now on I'll be doing only kirtan. I'm not going to read Bhagavatam. I'll do kirtan now. So you took to kirtan for a few days. After a few days, kirtan also getting gone. Lost interest in the kirtan. And then while parking through the high street, somebody has opened a new yoga institute. This is Kundalini Yoga. It's starting. Tomorrow classes starts. And special offer for the first 100 people or so register. Go and join that. And then started Kundalini Yoga for a few days. And after a few days, they're telling so many things, but it's not happening anything. You lost interest. You say, okay, whatever money we are given, deposit, forget it, leave it behind. Lost that also. Then like this, we keep on shifting from one to another. In spiritual life, you can see this happening with people. All the time it happens. So, this zombie state, that's the call it, that is what this Vilakshanani Karmani says. Try out everything a little bit, see which one will work. This is our problem, isn't it? We all do this. All of us do this. And we keep on testing it. If this doesn't work, leave it, we'll say something else. And our Vedic literature is such that it has got hundreds of options given to us. And it makes us all wonder sometimes. And then you start thinking, which one is it do I have to do? Start thinking like that. So what are the... That is why. Now, this is important because this understanding is necessary. Krishna is saying here, this karmam, see, this is where the whole trick behind that is. Krishna uses the word there, tadascha karmani vilakshanani. Yeah, that means different actions will come from that. In what way? Shuklani, Krishnani, atha lohidani, he says. Something will be shuklani, somebody will be Krishnani, somebody will be lohidani. In other words, what he says, see, for example, if you had a sattvic vasanas inside, suppose your vasanas are sattvic, therefore your thoughts will be sattvic. Thoughts will be sattvic. And therefore, all the actions also will be sattvic. All the actions also will be sattvic. That means, sattvic means, like you will get attracted to, say, deity worship, chanting, japam, and things like that. Because normally sattvikam means shuklani. Shuklani means white color, that's what it is called. Means sattvika karma. Determined by what? Not by vasanas, not by will, by vasanas mechanically. That is determined by the vasanas inside. Whatever so sattvika vasanas are inside, that sattvika vasanas will push you to engage in sattvika actions. And these religious activities have gone through, say for example, going to temple. It can happen like this way, it can become mechanical. Everything can become mechanical. It's driven by the vasanas. And that means your going to the temple will become mechanical, your deity worship will become mechanical, even reading Srimad Bhagavatam will become mechanical. Everything become mechanical then, if it is driven by the vasanas. Even when you chant the 1,000 names of Vishnu, Vishnu Sahasranamam, the 1,000 names, the last one is Sarva Praharanayudha, it finishes there. And you will read up to that, chant up to that, and even then the mind will not be there in the Sahasranamam, because it has come from vasana. Therefore, sattvika karmam, when we do, if it is will-based, that means if it has come from your will, it is better than if it has come from vasana. Do you understand that difference? That if the karmam, if any sattvika karmam, if it has come from your will, it is better than it has come from vasana. I don't know whether you understood that difference there. See, sattvika vasana creates sattvika karmam. Is it not? For example, as I mentioned, people regularly do deity worship, regularly chant the holy name, regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many people. Out of vasana they do it. Some others, not out of vasana they do it. Out of their will they do it. They made a decision to do it. And they do it. So the one you do with the will is better than the one you do with your vasana. I don't know whether you got the subtle side of that. Reason being that, we'll explain that a little bit more. Vasana based, Vedantam says that, and it's not a vasana based is not a good thing, because sattvika karmam, any sattvika karmam is good, that chanting the japam, deity worship, Bhagavatam reading, everything is good. But it's not good if it's purely vasana based and mechanical, because vasana based becomes mechanical. It's not done deliberately with the will, isn't it? So sattvika karmam definitely is better than rajasic karmam or tamasic karmam. Definitely it is better than Rajasam. But between mechanical Sattvika karma and done from willpower and deliberately done Sattvika karma, deliberate Sattvika karma should be our aim. Think about it when you get time. What's it? These are very subtle things for spiritual life. That some people are doing out of vasana, they are doing it. Some people are making up the... Why? Because when you make that decision to do something, that means you are abiding by the truth and doing it. That it's not coming from the modes of nature. It's coming from that power of that. You are independent of the mind and making that decision. That means jiva is winning. Jiva is getting the strength to do it. Whereas, on the other hand, if it is vasana based, it's coming from the mind. If it is done from your will, something, then it is jiva's power. That means jiva's getting control on the situation. That's what it is. That's the reason behind it. Sometimes we get confused about this, isn't it? Sometimes jiva is not there, mind is also not there. So what to do? Often that's the situation. But even when you come to Sattvika Karmam, or Karmam, Sattvika Karmam is definitely good. It's better than the Rajasam Tamasam. Only question is, whether it is under vasanas done, or it is under your will, it's been done. Well, it means, if it is done under vasana, it means it's mechanical. Very much mechanical it is. But if it's done deliberately, that means you are in it, as a part of that karma. You are very much involved in that. So, it is tough, but that should be the aim. It's very difficult that, to do that. So, Bhikshu is saying here, mechanically, religious life is gone through. If religion is a mechanical lifestyle, then Krishnani, he says. If it's a mechanical thing, then it is Krishnani. So, dark color represents also tamogunam. Because if it is executed in a way like that, mechanical way, then it is tamasam. Then it is tamasa karmani, lohidani means rajasa karmani. So, aggressive devotion, they call it. Aggressive devotion. So, so that is why you can see aggressive devotion sometimes becoming very excited and emotional about it, because you haven't got the control on the situation in all these times. So Krishna says that, you will see in the 17th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discusses this bhakti in three modes. You know that? Shraddhatra Vibhava Yogam, divisions of faith, it's called, I think. 17th chapter. Divisions of faith. And there you will find this. How bhakti can be under three modes? Sattvika bhakti, rajasa bhakti, tamasa bhakti. Krishna discusses that in there. So you can find there represents, so there also he says lohidam is red color, shastram, red color represents rajogunam. From mechanical activities happens based on our vasanas. In that chapter Krishna will come, we'll come to that later. Karma will lead to, because karmam will lead to karma phalam. Results will come from that, isn't it? And because of these three types of action, Krishna is saying here, Tebhya Savarna Sridayo Bhavandi. See the last line in that verse. He says there that karma phalam belongs, same color, same gunam, and Sattvika karmam leads to Sattvika phalam, Rajasa karmam leads to Rajasa phalam, and Tamasa karmam leads to Tamasa phalam. So the results dependent on the modes in which the action was performed. And this is the reason. So if you, how important these modes of nature is, that's what you have to recognize here. You remember in one place earlier, I think in the 10th or 11th chapter, 9th chapter, Krishna says, Urdvam gachandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasa, jakhanya gunavrittisto atho gachandi tamasa. Is it not? You remember that? So, Urdvam gachandi sattvastha, if the sattvaguna was there and the actions were, you will go up. Madhye tishtandi rajasa, if your rajogunam, if the actions were performed, you will remain in this earthly planet. Jakhanya gunavrittisto adho gachandi tamasa. The lower lower modes of nature, which means tamogunam, if you engage in action all the time, atho gacchandi, you will go down. So that's the same thing Krishna is saying here. Shuklani, Krishnani, atalohidani. Shuklani will go up, Krishnani will go down, Lohidani will stay here. Shuklani will go up, Krishnani will go down, Lohidani will stay in the middle. Stay in the middle. That is what Krishna is saying. That means, Urdhvam Gacchanti Satvastha means you will get a higher body. Madhye Drishtanti Rajasa means you will get a human body. Adho Gacchanti Tamasa, that means you will go down to the lower species. Lower species. Again the same thing, Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Janareshayanam. So, and this is like this, snake and ladder game. That you go and to the top ladder, and then you rattle the dice, and then you go, fell into the mouth of the snake, came all the way back to one again, or to the lower position, isn't it? So, this is the life of a samsari, one who is in the material existence. Samsara means that. That is what he is saying here. That Shuklani, Krishnani, Atha Lohidani, Tebhya Savarna Sradayo Bhavandi. With our Savarna Sradayo Bhavandi means that apart from that, you will go to the lower or higher planets according to the modes of nature, what has influenced your karma. Apart from that, the very karma that is we have conducted, what vasanas it has created, that will determine the next life also, in the future lifetimes, what it's going to come. How much karma and karma vasana we have created, we don't know. It's already there in the karana shariram, isn't it? And that will manifest as and when it is necessary and turn into prarabdham in due course of time. But what we have to remember here is, if our karma and karma vasana is of a tamogunam, tamasic or rajasic nature, it is difficult to get another body which has got a spiritual desire inside. Is it not? That is understandable, isn't it? If our actions in this world is rajasic and tamasic, you won't get a body which will be of a sattvic nature. So, sattvika body encourages you to come in spiritual life and to engage in spiritual life. Otherwise, it would not have happened. It will not, it cannot happen. That is why so many things we say, preaching and all that, but already the person's subtle body or that black box inside, it has already got certain vasanas inside. Only that vasanas are favorable, he will take to spiritual life. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. So, so that is what Krishna is saying here. After saying this, if you ask the question, from all these things what we have seen so far, the answer is, material existence is only for the mind, isn't it? It's not for the self. It will not happen to the self. It will not happen to the self. It will not happen to the self, if it is like that, what's the next thing then? That's the next verse. Aniham alma manasa samihada hiranmayo malsagamudvichashtem manaswalingam parigrihya kaman jushanni baddo guna sangadosau. Aniham alma manasa samihada hiranmayo malsagamudvichashtem manaswalingam parigrihya kaman jushanni baddo guna sangadosau. Samihada manasa saha vartamanobi hiranmayo mad sakaha alma aniha udvichashte. First thing Brahmana is saying here, even though alma is associating so closely with the mind, which is absorbed in the karma, which is engaged in all kinds of karma, but always alma cannot be touched by anything, because Atma's knowledge is so powerful. That's why. Because the knowledge of Atma, Atma's realization itself is very powerful. Therefore, even though all these things are happening for the Jiva, and he is closely associated with the Jiva, isn't it? Atma and Jiva is very close, they are. They call it as here Mal Sakha. Sakhava means what? Sakhava means close friend. Very close he is. They are very close to each other. They cannot stay one without the other. That's how close they are. So Alpa and Jiva, they are very close. Mal Sakha, he says. Sakha he is. So although he is close to Jiva, and although Jiva is doing all these things under the influence of the mind, Atma, under no circumstances, he will be touched by any of these things because of his strength of knowledge. Because of the strength of knowledge. And therefore, what does he do? He just observes. He let him to do what he wants to do, the Jiva. But he will never interfere in that. Nor he will get affected by that. That is his strength. Look at Atma's strength compared to Jiva's weakness. Jiva is very weak. He gets victimized by the mind. And he suffers through. Atma, totally transcendental. Never disturbed about anything. Because he is so strong in his knowledge. And it is based on that example in the Upanishad, the two birds sitting on the tree and all that has come from. The same principle is spoken there also. So therefore he says here, Aso gunasangadaha so lingam manaha parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddaha. The jiva, what it is doing is that he created this material existence on his own. He created himself. And he has identified with the mind because he is his close friend of the mind, isn't it? And all the activities of the mind, he thinks it is his activities. Jiva thinks like that. And he gets entangled with that, of the happiness and distress that comes from that actions, whatever that has happened with the Jiva and the mind together. So Jiva goes through all this misery. Jiva experiences all kinds of good and bad situations and everything. But unlike Atma, he suffers. Unlike Atma, he suffers. Atma is so powerful, so knowledgeable, that he knows who he is, and therefore he cannot be touched by anything what happens here. That is his strength. That's his strength. In reality, Jiva also doesn't have any bondage. In reality, why? Because Jiva is actually Atma's part and parcel, not the part and parcel of the mind. But unfortunately, when he has started associating with the mind and identified with the mind, and this identification has come because of what? Avidya. That is called avidya. This identification of the jiva with the mind is called the avidya. So, the moment jiva starts thinking that my swarupam is the mind and not Atma, that is the moment when the jiva got bound. The moment jiva started identifying with the mind and not identifying with Atma, that is the moment when the jiva has got bound. So when that broken identification of the mind is broken, he is liberated. He is in the liberated state. That is all it is. It's not that jiva will fall like a water drop from the spiritual world here and then anything will happen. We discuss all the time about this. When did jiva fall from the spiritual world? Jiva didn't fall from the spiritual world. He's falling, everything is happening here only. The moment we have, our mind has gone, jiva has gone with the mind, it has fallen. The moment jiva has come out of the mind, it has escaped. That's all bondage liberation means. So that is why he is saying here that if you have controlled the mind, aniham alma manasa samihatam hiranmayo malsagamudvijashte manaswalingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddho guna sangadosau. Jushan nibaddho guna sangadosau, he says. So what we have seen in the previous two verses, yes, 43 and 44. So we talked about the first problem is the mind gets kidnapped by the world. Mind is a hostage of the external world, is it not? The world means the events, the people and the objects there. And especially then the vasana factor, what we have got inside us. We have seen that also. So in this verse, Bhikshu, in this verse, Bhikshu is talking about the second problem. Not the first problem, the second problem. What's the second problem? Second problem is to go and identify with the mind. That is the problem what he's going to talk about here. So his identification with that slave mind goes and identifies. Because it is helpless, that mind is helpless, weak, and also sick. It is weak, it is sick, because it's having its association with the world. And therefore, identification that I am that mind is the second problem. And what is my real nature? If I am the mind, am I the mind? Here the Bhikshu says, really speaking, I am not the mind. Aniham alma manasa samihada, he says, I am a higher nature, not like this mind. My nature is higher. And my nature is, I am a witness. That is my real nature. I am a Sakshi. Sakshi is my real nature, isn't it? Witness. What is the nature of Sakshi? Sakshi is then, Sakshi, you can see, when somebody is a Sakshi, how do you identify the Sakshi? Sakshi means he is independent, isn't it? He is independent. And what else Sakshi? When you say somebody is a Sakshi, what does it mean? It means, one thing, he is independent. He is completely independent. Secondly, he also has no connection with the incident. Is it not? Suppose in the court he calls somebody as a witness an accident. Why he is called as a witness? Because he is an independent person. He was only a witness to it. He was not involved in the accident. And he is totally independent. That means both the independence and not being connected with the incident. On his own, he is independent. That in Shastram they call it Svatantratvam Asangatvam. Two words. Asangoyam, Asangoyam. In the Upanishad, he will say Asangoyam, 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 Puna Puna, Sachidananda Rupoham, Aham Evaham Avyayam. That is my pure nature, which Krishna says Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, totally pure, always conscious, and always liberated. This is my nature, pure nature. This is all the nature of the Sakshi. Sakshi is like that. Sakshi cannot be implicated in anything because he is a Sakshi. And his Sakshitvam or that state of Sakshitvam has come to him because he is not involved in anything what Jiva is doing. Therefore, he is given special credit. Atma is a Sakshi. And Atma is a Sakshi. So that this is the higher nature of the Atma. So the real I is Atma. Real I is Atma. What type of Atma? That is what he is saying there. Aniham Atma. You see that word he has used there? Aniham Atma manasa samihada hiranmayo malsagamudvijashtem. Aniham Atma. Aniham Atma means he is free from all actions. And also Iha. Iha means karmam. Aniha means he has no karma. Atma has no karma. Only Jiva has all the karma within. And I am all the time actionless. I am all the time actionless. That is my real nature. Actionless. I am not meant for action. But action has come. It's a disease that has come to us. We have to get rid of that disease. And the only way to get out of it is going back to our Swarupam, which is Aniham Atma. Aniham Atma. So, I am all the time actionless and Atma. Aham bodham, aham bodham, aham bodham puna puna, aham asangoyam, asangoyam, no connection. This is why they keep repeating that word, asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. I, in my spiritual identity, I have no connection with anything, with any karma. Asangoyam is my identity. I have no connection with the Sachidananda Rupoham. Only then, suppose you have all the karma, how can you say you are Sachidanandam then? You will never be Sachidanandam if you have all the karma to do. So, Sachidananda Rupoham, we are Sachidanandam, Krishna is Sachidanandam, isn't it? Our nature is also Sachidanandam, we are also eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Satta Chittanandam is what we are made of. And this is the same nature Krishna has. So, that Sachidananda Rupoham Aham Evaham Vayam. That is where the difficulty comes, that we have forgotten that we are Sachidanandam. We are thinking that we are subject to death, we are subject to old age, because all due to the association with the mind. Association with the mind. yes, sir. So, he says here, Aniha malpa manasa samihada hiranmayo mal saga udvichashte. Now, first line is talking about alma, aniham alma. But what happened was, manasa samihada hiranmayo mal saga udvichashte. He says here, so what I have done is, if I am aniha alma, if I have no karma, will I keep quiet? No, I won't keep quiet. That is a problem. Suppose I know aniham alma, but then I won't keep quiet. What I do is, I cannot keep it. Not only I won't keep quiet, I will go and destroy the peace of other people also. Peace of others as well. And that's why he says here, Hiranmayam. Hiranmayam means, is the nature of the pure consciousness. Hiranyam means gold. Hiranyam means gold, isn't it? Here, gold is representing that the shining and shining represents means that consciousness. Hiranmayam it is. Hiranmayam means, you see, Hiranmayam. Hiranmayam means, its nature is consciousness. Atma's nature is consciousness. And consciousness is always pure. And it is effulgent and it is living for. Swayam Prakasha Chaitanyam is called Hiranmayam. You will see this word in the Bhagavatam and in the Upanishads also. Something self-effulgent. On its own, it can be effulgent. Everything else, you require the help of something else to know that. Atma, you don't need that, because you are Atma. Is it not? Like, remember this example, awareness is such thing, awareness is consciousness, isn't it? So, consciousness, you don't require another agent to know that you are conscious. Consciousness is you. You are not different from consciousness, is it not? So, this nature is a self-effulgent nature. Just like there is a lamp burning. To see the lamp, I don't have to bring another torch to see if the lamp is burning or not. The lamp itself is burning, and that is enough for me to know that the lamp has got illumination power or the light in there. Similarly, Atma. Atma doesn't require a second agent to tell us, oh, you are Atma. You don't have to be told. You are that. You are that. In your experience, all the time, Atma is present like that. In your own experience, isn't it? So, that is why it says here, what is the nature of that consciousness? He says here, Malsakaha means, it's really the friend. It's really the friend. Friend, he is a friend of that Ahangaram. Jivalma. Jivalma is the Ahangaram. He is a friend of that. This Atma. Because he tolerates all these things, isn't it? Jivas, all kinds of rubbish, what he's doing. He's tolerating that. So, Paramatma or Krishna or our own Atma, which is addressed as Paramatma here, that Paramatma is always a friend of Jivatma. Always a friend of Jivatma. And we will understand, because we have no understanding of the Jivatma, you can say that he's a friend of the mind. Friend of the mind also. Why is it called the friend of the mind? Because Atma gives that power for the mind to work. That itself is an indication, isn't it? If Atma is not there, this so-called mind also won't be there. He cannot function. He cannot function. Everything is able to function only because of his presence. Because of Atma's presence. So, because Atma give that consciousness to the mind, that is why mind has got some ability to function. Otherwise, how can mind function? Mind is an inert thing. Jadam it becomes. But because there is life gone into the mind from Atma, Atma has given it to the mind, therefore mind is able to do all these things, what it's doing. Otherwise, mind cannot do it. So, you can see there from this one point that they say that the mind is able to function because of that. Just like electricity. Electricity gives power to the lamps to burn. Electricity gives the power to the fridge, to the cooker, to the washing machine, and a CD player, and television, and so many things. Electricity is a friend of everyone. Because electricity goes and engages, therefore they can function and do different things, what they are doing. Similarly, because of the presence of Atma only, mind is able to function. And because of the presence of Atma only, intelligence is able to function. And same thing with the senses, everything. So all these different activities are happening only because of the presence of Atma. That is why he is saying here, he is a friend. That's why it says here. Hiranmayo malsaka udhichashte. See that second line? Aniham alma manasa samihada. Hiranmayo malsaka udhichashte. Hiranmayam, first of all, that is his quality. Hiranmayam, that means self-effulgent. He doesn't require anybody's help for anything. He is so independent. He is so independent. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they call him as Swarad. You remember? The first two line, Swarad. Swarad is only for Atma, nobody else. Only for the Atma. Janmadhyasya yadonvayadidharadas charteshu abhijna Swarad. Swarad means full independent, complete independent he has got. He is not bound by anyone or anything in this world. That independent position, that is Atma's position. That's why it is mentioned like that. So, what type of mind? So here he says here, so you have to supply this word malsakha. This Atma, the higher nature, is closely present in the proximity of the mind. What type of the mind? Mind which is very active. That is what it says here. Samihada. Samihada means active. Very active mind. So, because mind is very close to Atma. Mind is very close to Atma. And the Atma, because he is able to identify with the mind. In the form of Jivatma, it is identifying with the mind. Atma is only one. And that Atma, in different functions, like it does with the ego, with the mind, it takes the form of Jivatma also and identifies with the mind. So, that is an important thing here. That Aniham Atma Manasa Samihata Hiranmayo Matsaga Udvichashte Manasu Lingam Parigrihya Kaman Jushan Nibaddho Gunasanga Dosav. He says, Jushan Nibaddho Gunasanga Dosav. Here, for example, where this relationship between the mind and the Atma, we have to understand that. See this glass, if I keep it here, it is an external thing, isn't it? If I put it on me, it has become a part of me. It's become a part of me. So when I keep it here, it's an object, and I am different from the object at that time. But if you ask me, that how many objects are around you? If you ask me now, I will not include specks in that. I will count everything, the books, the table, the different books, mic, and all computer, all other things I will say, different objects is around me. But I won't say about the glass. Why? Glass has become a part of me when I put it on me. Isn't it? So similarly, as an so initially when I put it there, it's an instrument like anything else. But if it has come on to me, you can see there, initially it was an object, and when I put it on top of me, it has become an instrument. It has become a part of me. So once the object has become an instrument, it has come closer to me. It has come closer to me. When it remains as an object, it is separated from me. When it became an instrument, it has become very close with me, very close to me. Similarly, you can see, anything for that matter. If I'm using a pen, the pen is lying on the table, then it's an object. But if I start writing the pen with the pen, it's become an instrument for me. Isn't it? It's become an instrument for me. Because it becomes so close to me. So once it has become a close in the proximity, or it's so closer to you, and I don't look at it anymore as an object. I look at it as a, it becomes a part of me. It becomes a part of me. And when I am asked to enumerate the different objects, I will not include the glass or my writing pen in that, because it's with me. It's become identifying with me at that time. So identification changed, isn't it? From an object, it has become an instrument. The mind is like that. The mind is also like that. Similarly, mind is like this glass. If I keep it here separately, then it's separate. But if I put it on top of me, then it's me. In the same way. In the same way. So when the identification is complete, suppose the glass becomes dirty, some dust has fallen from the tilak or something, it has fallen, and if I had to clean up anything like that, and just inside, outside, and if I can't see anything properly, I won't immediately say that it's a problem with the glass. I'll think I can't see things properly, I will say. I can't see things very well. Although this got dusty from the dust that has fallen onto the glass. So, in the similar way, which we are saying here, manasa samihada. See that word? Manasa samihada. Mani aniham alma manasa samihada. That means, in the proximity of this mind, alma, the higher sakshi, and what do? Manasa parigrihya jivata. Manaswalingam parigrihya kaman. So, this verse is a very philosophical verse. This 45th verse. 44th verse, as I mentioned before, is more of the psychology side of it. This 45th is Vedantam. 45th verse is Vedantam. He says here, and therefore it is more subtle. This verse is more subtle than the other one. What does the Jivatma do? It says asau. Asau, it says here, Gunasangadosau. It says, asau gunasangada swalingam manaha parigrihya kaman jushan nibadha bhavati. That means, manaha parigrihyade. Identification has started in this verse. The way we mention this, that when the mind has come closer to you, and as soon as you put the glass on yourself, you identified with that, isn't it? Glass has become part of you. Similarly, when you have identified with the mind has become part of you. Then you can't say mind is not a part of me. Up till the point you have identified with the mind was separately from you. But the moment you identified with the mind, as jiva, mind has become your own part, isn't it? So, what type of mind is that? The mind which is a hostage of the world outside, And then along with that mind, who else has come in? All the infinite relations, friends, society, family, and all other, how many sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters, they all has come in with them. With that mind, they all got inside us. Isn't it? So, and each of these relationships makes me a hostage, is it not? That's what it does. When they all come inside with the mind, I become a hostage of all those things, isn't it? And then you can easily know this, that when the mind is disturbed, the cause is some one external factor that has caused this disturbance. So, for example, son, son-in-law, daughter, whoever it may be, that as soon as something happens to them, immediately disturbance comes here. Is it not? See how they entered into you also deeply inside. They lost a job, you feeling it. Or they have not a job. Just like when they had a child, you feel as though you had a child. This relationship comes like this. This is that mind does. Because mind has come into us. Mind has got so close to us. Otherwise, somebody else get married. So many people are getting married. We don't get affected by that. But your own son or daughter get married, immediately, oh, my daughter got married. Because the daughter is inside you, or son is inside you, they brought that close proximity, how that mind works, is it not? So that is what he is saying here. This is a very philosophical verse that is. that mind is has got this capacity that normally he is independent. We have nothing to do with it, with that mind. Aniha alma, that is how that verse begins. But what happened was, manasa samihada, he got closer to the mind. And then, although he is Hiranmayam, Hiranmayam means he is totally independent, he accepted this friendship with the Sakha Jiva. Mal Sakha Udvichashte. And as soon as when we say Jiva, Alma, both are saying one and the same thing. But as soon as he has developed friendship with the mind, because he is the one who is giving the power to the mind, who? Alma. So naturally he has become very close with him. And he has become so close, like the way the glasses become so close to me by putting it on my nose, putting it on my ears, sorry, eyes. And how it's closer to me, the same way, the mind has become so close to me that this mind is carrying with it all the other things, all the world is inside this mind. Family, children, grandchildren, whole society, friends, they are all inside this mind. I have accepted that also. Just like we say, if you get your son married or daughter married, you have to accept their whole family also with that, isn't it? The same problem. It's not that your son married or daughter married. You have to accept the whole spectrum along with that. With you. They all became, then we say, oh, they're all our one family, we're all one family together. And getting some happiness out of that also. This is how, but actually I have nothing to do with any of these things. That is why he starts the words like this. Aniham Alma. Alma has nothing to do with any of these things. But due to our vyavaharam, we create all these things through the mind, and then we accept the mind as our friend. That means the whole thing is our friend. Whole world is our friend. It becomes like that. That is what Krishna is saying here. So mind is a hostage of the world, and along with them infinite relations and relatives. And as the family expands, the number of relationships also will increase. We'll say, oh, I've got 5 sons and 4 daughters, or something like that, and I've got so many grandchildren. Like this, that ocean, big thing, it keep on expanding like that. And each of those relationships makes me a hostage. Makes me a hostage. So when the mind is disturbed, you can see this. You can notice that how big is your empire, what you have created, when the mind is disturbed. Something happens in anyone in that big circle, it disturbs you. It disturbs you, isn't it? So as I say, oh, the grandchild has got a problem, you are disturbed. You'll see often grandparents getting disturbed. Grandchild has got disturbed, got sick, or something happened to them. Or somebody lost their job, you are disturbed. Or if the marriage is not working, you are disturbed. It's not your marriage, somebody else's marriage. But you are disturbed. What to do now? That means you will have no time except to get disturbed whole life. Whole life will be in a disturbed state. In the middle of all that, you are trying to develop spiritual life. So you can imagine where it stands then, isn't it? So otherwise, in the olden days, this complaint was not there. Which one? Marriage is not working. That was not a complaint in the past. Nowadays, it's very common. Everywhere you take, it's not working. They'll say it's not working. Both parties will say it's not working. So what to do? So like this it goes on. Because this mind, with such a miserable mind, I am identified. That's where all the problem has come. Bhikshu is saying here, that word he uses here is manasso lingam parigrihya kaman. That is how Bhikshu says. See that word? How Bhikshu has selected? Mana Swalingam Parigrihya Kaman. How his problems have increased in this way? Because of this connection with the mind like this. Swalingam, mind which reveals the consciousness, is forming the reflection. The mind receives that power of the consciousness into the mind. Atma gives that power for the mind. And mind which reveals the consciousness, because mind is the one which is active now and is forming this reflection. Or in other words, mind reveals the consciousness by forming a reflection, just like a mirror reveals the face. Suppose you look at the mirror, you see yourself in the mirror, isn't it? But you can see one thing, you are not seeing your face. You are only seeing a reflection of your face. You can never see yourself, can you? Because eyes are here, how can you see yourself? Your face you can't see. What you are seeing is only a reflection. So you see the face as revealed by the mirror. Now depending on the condition of the mirror, it can be different, isn't it? Some mirror can be very clean and very good. Well, well, that means the reflection will be much more clear. And some other mirror can be not that good. So similarly, the mind is called here, the Brahmana is calling mind as a lingam. See that word? Manaswalingam, he says. So lingam. Lingam, like a mirror, it reveals the consciousness. It reveals the consciousness forming a reflection of that. And therefore, mind is called Atmalingam. There is a word used for mind. Manaswalingam parigrahya kaman. This relationship between the mind and the Atma is so close. Sometimes we say, I am the mind, isn't it? Most of the time I am identifying with the mind. It's a very difficult thing to break away. Swa means here, swalingam. Swa means Atma. Manaswalingam. In other words, Atmalingam. Atmalingam. Lingam means that it reveals something, or you can see there that mind has the reflection of consciousness and therefore it becomes a life mind, and that life mind is a hostage of the world, and such a mind is parigrahya. So here Krishna is saying here, mind has the reflection of the consciousness there. That is why there is life in the mind. Mind is able to function because you have to remember this, that like jiva, mind is also coming from Atma. You see, Atma is present in the mind also, as much as Atma is present in the jiva. Jiva, we will say normally as ahankaram, false ego. That false ego, Atma is present. Similarly, in the mind also, Atma is present. So Krishna is saying here that the reflection of this consciousness in the mind, which is present there, it becomes very live. Mind gets its life from this reflection of the consciousness. And that mind which we are talking about, which is reflecting this consciousness, is a hostage of the world. That you should never forget. It's a hostage of the world. And that mind, parigrahya. Parigrahya means, with that mind you are identifying. I'm identifying with that mind, which is a hostage, which is actually a slave of the external world. But I gave life to that mind from Atma. I got so close to that mind, and because of my presence inside as Atma, in that mind, it got its consciousness. And through that consciousness, I became closer with them and started experiencing everything what the mind is experiencing. I started experiencing myself, and with that identification is complete. And I started identifying myself as the mind. This is how it happened. And this is called material existence, samsara. If you analyze this step by step, you can see mind on its own is full of vasanas and thought waves. All the thought waves are created based on the modes of nature which it is associating closely with. That means sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. They create avidya. That avidya is built up inside and it comes in the form of tamogunam in me. It creates, tamogunam creates desires, and desires karmam, karmam to janmam. That way it goes, like that. And not only that, mind has picked up, based on its association with the world, all other family members, friends, society, friendship, everything, it has come and staying inside the mind. Mind is full of all these things together. when Alma gave life to the mind in the form of consciousness, it got closer with the mind. And when it got closer with the mind, eventually Atma started feeling identification with the mind. And consciousness is the one that has created the life to the mind. Consciousness. So if Alma stops giving this consciousness to the mind, the problem is over. That is self-realization. When does that happen? You can see in a daily life also, when we go to Sushupti state, Alma is able to do that. Alma is able to do that in the Sushupti. Isn't it? Where does the mind go in Sushupti? Where has everything gone? Body has gone, mind has gone. So if Alma wants, it can be independent. If he wants it. That's what it is indicating, isn't it? In Sushupti state, that's what it is indicating to us. If Alma wants to go independent of the mind, it can go. And at that time, Alma on its own is happy. Without this baggage of thing called mind. But when it comes back, mind says, I will again, the whole business starts in the morning. Once again, it starts. So that is the point Krishna has made. In this verse, Bhikshu is saying also, Aniham Alma Manasa Samihada Hiranmayo Malsaga Udvichashte. Udvichashte. He says there, Hiranmayo Malsaga Udvichashte. And Manaswalingam Parigrihya Kaman Jushan Nibhaddo Gunasangadoso. Jushan Nibhaddo Gunasangadoso. So, Parigrihya Kaman, Kaman Jushan. He says, the mind is keep on demanding because mind's nature is a slave. Because it's a slave, it is asking all the time. It's a slave of the external world. External world is full of what? Advertisement, buy this, buy that, and things like that. Therefore, controlled by this external world, it has endless demands also. How desires builds up inside us, isn't it? So then there is demands of the wife, the children, the husband, and becomes demands of the mind. They demand, they're all demanding, children are demanding, husband is demanding, wife is demanding. So all their demands become the demand of my mind. Becomes the demand of my mind. So so then that's how it happens. That's how it happens. Then anyone is sick in the family, is in the hospital, you have to go. You have to go. What can you do? Well, nothing you can do there. You just go there, sit there, oh, I've come. Tell you, the person has to suffer in the hospital. What can you do? You can't do anything. The hospital will go on its own way. But if you don't go, then there will be a Kurukshetram there. Oh, you didn't come when I was in the hospital, they'll say. They also, you know, if you had come or you haven't come, what difference is going to make so much? Nothing. Nothing. That person has to go through his prarabdham. You have to go through your prarabdham. But if you don't go, similarly if a death happens, after death you are expecting everybody to come. Now if you don't come, you are saying that, oh, it didn't come after death. Somebody died close to me, it didn't even come. They say like that. What can you do? If you go, will he come back to life again? No, it won't happen. But still they will say that, isn't it? So this is what the mind does. The mind is doing that. So somebody is in the hospital, is somewhere, you are somewhere, and thus everybody's demand becomes your demand. It becomes the mental demand, in other words. So, and when I am identified with these endless demands, which has come from everywhere, where is the peace? Kaman Jushan, he says. Kaman Jushan. Kaman Jushan means that holding on to the demands of this mind, Nibaddha, mind is permanently shackled. Mind is permanently shackled. So mind has got a lot to deal with. It has a lot to deal with, isn't it? Aniham alpa manasa samihada hiranmayo malsaga udvijashte manasvalingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddho gunasangadosav. So, Brahmana is saying here that this position, Bhikshu Gita, in these three verses, the main teaching is about the mind in these three verses. Now if you look at the three verses, that mind alone plays the primary role in everything, in determining the quality of our life. The mind makes that decision. And therefore, winning over the mind is the first and foremost thing. That is how he talks about it here. Now, coming back to this verse, we have seen that the Alma or is Aniha, Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Aniha means it doesn't have any karma. It doesn't have any karma means what? It doesn't have any desire. Desire and karma are connected to each other, is it not? So, if it doesn't have any karma means it doesn't have any desire also. It doesn't have any desire also. So, today we have hundreds and thousands of desires inside us. And in order to fulfill those desires, we are engaged in the karma. And where did these desires come from? They came from, and if you, and who is going to get satisfied with these desires? Who is getting satisfied? If you think about that, is it for Alma? No. And if you ask the question, is it for Jiva, all these desires? No. Because Jiva also, because his nature is Alma. Therefore, in reality, Jiva also doesn't have any desire. That it is all for the mind. It's all for the mind. Only the experience is in the Jiva. You see? But when you get some desire fulfilled, who is enjoying it? Not Alma, not Jiva, but the mind. Or when distress comes, who is suffering? Not the Alma, not the Jiva, but the mind. Is it not? If you see, you can see yourself how it is, how it works. Is it not? So even on the Jiva platform, it's not happening. But because of the identification with the mind, we suffer. Jiva also suffers from that. So for whose purpose we perform the karma? In order to fulfill our desires, isn't it? And for whose purpose the desires have happened? And because of the mind. Mind is the one who created all the desires. And he builds up all the desires. The mind does that very well, isn't it? So, and that mind is not me. That is what Bhikshu is saying here. And so he's telling us, first get this point very clear in our head, that you are not the mind. You are not the mind. Because, and then after that, if any desires are coming in the mind, let it come and let it make the problem. But if doesn't happen, doesn't matter. I cannot do anything. I'll sit quiet. I can't do anything about it. And if you sit like that, then your karma will come down. Otherwise, karma will build up. You won't be able to sit like that. Aniha valpa manasa samihada hiranmayo malsaka uddhichashte. So malsaka hiranmaya. Hiranmaya is that malsaka is a friend. And that Alma's sakha is this Jiva, who is Malsaka. And he develops Udvegam. Udvegam means anxiety. He develops anxiety. What is the reason? Because mind has got the desire. Mind has got the desire. Mind says, I want this, I want that, and I have to do it like this, I have to do it like that. And if I don't get this, it will be difficult tomorrow. And this way, mind is constantly frightening me. After creating the desires, it frightens me and upsets my life. So, in one way, you can say, what the mind does is, it makes you feel this pralobhanam. Pralobhanam means, it creates a certain kind of anxiety in us. It intimidates us. That's the word. Mind intimidates us all the time. And another way, it frightens us. Is it not? It intimidates us and it frightens us. And in another way, it enthuses us to do things. And it creates anxiety in us. Udvegam. Udvegam in us. All these things mind does. All these things mind does. So, when these things are happening, the Jiva is very closely associated with the mind. Very closely associated with the mind. And mind is saying, if I don't do all these things, it will cause problems. If I don't work like this, or if I don't do a particular thing, it will cause problems. And jiva, what does it do? It goes and identifies with the thoughts of the mind. Jiva agrees with everything what mind says. So, although jiva is a part of Atma by its nature, because it goes and identifies with the mind, the anxiety what the mind is experiencing, it becomes an anxiety for the jiva as well. So only due to association, purely due to association. So whenever desires are building up inside the mind, if it gets satisfied, you will feel happy. And that misunderstanding comes to jiva. You see that? This is a misunderstanding of the jiva. Jiva is saying, thinking that this all happens inside us, every one of us. That all the desires has happened in the mind, and the mind creates this feeling inside us that I have to fulfill these desires. If I don't fulfill them, it will cause problem for me tomorrow. And I become very conscious of that, which one? The mind. Jiva goes and associates with this mind and takes on board everything. And then the fear, anxiety, worry, tension, all the things what mind had, it has handed it over to the jiva. And jiva takes on board everything. And it is at that time jiva gets to this misunderstanding. Misunderstanding begins from there. So jiva starts saying, this misunderstanding comes to the jiva that only if I do things, I will get the results, won't I? And he'll start doing things. He'll engage in action, karma. That's what it says here. Jushan manasya lingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddo gunasanga doso. So, gunasangam, because of association with the modes of nature, the mind will start showing its true colors. In association with the modes of nature. Because modes of nature and the vasanas, they are not separate, because those modes of nature, they have been developed inside the mind. They grew up in the mind. And similarly, when the modes of nature are growing up, vasanas are also growing up inside. So when the vasanas are growing up, modes of nature are growing up, along with that, desires are also growing up inside. And this is the way it works. Modes of nature are growing up, vasanas are growing up, desires also will grow up along with that. And so, and when they, that's all happening in the mind, but at the same time, this jiva has gone and associated, took control of that, because Atma has given this potency to mind to become conscious. Mind got life from Atma. And when it has got the life, jiva has associated with that life as Atma, as mind. And with that association, it has also started thinking, jiva is also thinking, then I have to fulfill all the desires. Initially, mind says all these things, I want this, I want this, I want this. When do you start taking the ownership? When it comes to jiva. When jiva takes the ownership of everything, that is when it develops into fear, anxiety, worry, tension, everything comes. If it is something to do with the mind, it shouldn't. Because it's the mind that is doing, creating that. You can stay away from that. But when jiva identifies with the mind and takes ownership of everything from mind, then every experience of the mind, jiva also has to experience. Therefore, it starts thinking, jiva starts thinking that it is mine, I have to do this, I have to fulfill those desires, otherwise I will be in trouble. This will come to jiva as well. Therefore, this is how this karmam has got into us. The tendency for karmam has got into us in this way, that we feel that strong urge for engaging in karmam has come in this way. So, and it will create that tendency. It will create life in us, and we will start doing karma. That's how karma That is, you can see from this how strong that close relationship is between us and the karma. Till it is broken, it is not going to go. As long as we are jiva, as long as there is a mind, and as long as the mind is under the influence of the world, karma will be there. Karma will be there. And simultaneously, Krishna is saying to us, Aniha valma manasa samihada hiranmayo malsaka uddhichashtai. This jiva does not belong to the mind. Jiva belongs to Alma, on the other hand. So, in normal circumstances, jiva should not suffer. He should not experience any distress or the misery of this world. He should not, in the normal circumstances. But only due to association with the mind, it's suffering. Only due to the association with the mind, it is suffering. Sometimes we say, sometimes mothers say about the children, why did my son become like this? It's all because, not his fault, because the next door there is another one. He has spoiled him due to his association. And sometimes mothers say like that, isn't it? Similarly, jiva also, jiva on his own is good. Like my mother says, my son is very good. Similarly, jiva also is good. But when jiva, like they say, that he has gone and made friendship with, he's a rascal who goes and does all sorts of things, and my son has been his friend for so long, and he has picked up all these bad habits from him. We say like that, isn't it? Similarly, Atma is also saying that jiva is mine, is my son. But what can I do? He has gone and started mixing with this mind, and then since then all these things have happened to him. He is suffering now because of that. So, because of this, what happened? Jiva has got many desires because of the mind. Desires have come to it. And in order that the desires to fulfill, that then you lose all honesty, truthfulness, dharmam, adharmam, everything we forget. We give up everything then. Why? Because desires have to be fulfilled, isn't it? So, and then we start doing karmam, whichever way what it suits us. Then there is no discrimination after that. All our karma will be based on not any values. There is no dharmam, there is no adharmam. There is no truthfulness, nothing. Nothing rules anymore because desire has to be fulfilled. And we get influenced by all kinds of emotions also. And subsequently, in our karma, it will reflect. In our karma, it will reflect. We may cheat people, we may make fun of others, we will do all sorts of wheeling, dealing to get our way through in this world. Isn't it? So it's all the result of that. And we will say that, oh, if he is in trouble, what does it matter to me? That's his problem. This attitude will come. We'll start thinking like that. If you won't mind putting others into problems, if it suits your interest. This all comes from this problem. That the mind has, we've become so closer with the mind, and the mind's desire, mind which has created all desires in us, and that desires have grown big. With the result of that, in order to fulfill that desires, I will go and do anything after that. I won't have any consideration for anything else. So, what has happened now was, when our mentality has become like this, I have started seeing he and me separately too. This is called in the Shastram as Bheda Buddhi. It is the most difficult thing to get rid of from inside because we have created it unnecessarily. Is it not? This Veda Buddhi, what they call it as, Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi, how did Veda Buddhi come? Veda Buddhi has come like this. I become my interest, and that interest is like this. I am seeing my interest. It is not actually my interest. It's the interest of my mind. My mind's interest. It's not my interest. My mind has created desires because of its association with the modes of nature. And the desires have been built up so much inside that that desires to fulfill have to engage in karma. And karma increases, and because tamogunam is the root behind all of these things and avidya, those karma, I have no discrimination. I will do it. Karma includes not the work what we do in the office, everything what we do. Then becomes totally to fulfill the desires of the mind, nothing else. When it comes to that stage, that is why all kinds of emotions it creates inside. Apart from that, it develops into cheating, lying, and doing anything in life because it is trying to satisfy the mind. Not me, it tries to satisfy my mind. And when that stage comes, what has happened is you will even go to the extent of giving problems to others. You won't mind lying, cheating others, exploiting others. This is all coming from that. And unless one is spiritually very, very advanced, this Veda Buddhi won't go. Veda Buddhi has to go. You have to notice this in the people. Krishna is saying to us, you remember, in the 28th chapter in the 11th canto, what did he say to us? Uddhava, this Veda Buddhi must go. If it doesn't go, do one thing, he says. Praname dandavad bhumav asho chandala ghokharam. Brahmane arke spulinge sene. He says, you have to see a Brahmana, a thief, a very cruel person, a very pious person. All of them we have to see in the spirit soul. Because all this nature is in their svabhavam, not in the Atma. In their Atma also, this is not there. Like in our Atma, it's not there. It's all in the svabhavam, isn't it? It is my svabhavam, is my mind. My mind is the svabhavam. So in svabhavam, all these differences exist. And once you have identified with your own svabhavam, naturally for the sake of that, due to svabhavam, my attitude will be to cheat others, to lie to others, to do anything to suit my mind. It will come like that. Once that has happened, Krishna is saying that Veda Buddhi has come. Once the Veda Buddhi has come, impossible to move further in spiritual life. Because you always have Veda Buddhi. What can you do? You are seeing somebody is different than the other. We are trying to see that Krishna is saying that if you look into that chapter, you will see in the 28th chapter. It's an important verse. He says there that that is a verse where it begins there that Visrjasmayamanan swan, drisham ridam cha dehim, praname dandavad bhumau, ashwa chandala kho gharam. That he says here that if you go back a little bit further, before, in the 13th chapter, sorry, in the 13th verse, he's saying there that idi sarvani bhudani madbhavena mahadyude sabhajayan manyamano jnanam kevalam ashridaha brahmane pulkase stene brahmane arke spulingage akrure krurage jaiva samudrik pandido mada. To get that equal vision everywhere. If we have Veda Buddhi, how is equal vision possible? It will not happen, isn't it? It will not happen. It is from there we get friend and enemy. Somebody is your friend, somebody is your enemy. That also comes from that. And he says here, Nareshu Abhishnam Malbhavam Pumso Bhavayato Achiral Spardha Asuya Tiraskaram Sahangaram Viyandihi. These four things is a part of that. Which one? Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Sahangaram. These four things will come from this Veda Buddhi. Spardha means you will start become in each other, competing each other on my equal level. Oh, he's doing better than me. In that way. It's kind of competition each other. Asuya, envious towards who are higher than me. I feel envy towards them. Oh, he's got more money than me. Or he's in a bigger position than me. Things like this. Feeling envy about that. Tiraskara means looking down upon others who are not in your same level. Oh, he is nothing. Who is he after all? This attitude. Tiraskaram. Sa ahankaram viyandihi. He says, your own false ego. These four things. This is all due to Vedabuddhi. So, Nareshu Abhishnam Malbhavam Pumso Bhavayato Achiral Spardha Asuya Tiraskaram Sahangaram Vyandhi. In order to free this Vedabuddhi, to get release from this Vedabuddhi, Krishna is saying here, Visarjas Mayamanan Swan Drisham Vridamcha Dehim Praname Dandavad Bhumav Asho Chandala Ghogaram. Krishna is expecting what to talk about in the human body. He is saying, even with the animals you should not have Vedabuddhi. What to talk about us is good enough to say among human being species you should have Vedabuddhi. But remember, he is expecting us to come to this level that even with animals, a dog or a cat or a cow or a horse, whatever, or a donkey in the street, you have to see that he is also an Atma, not to see through the body. To that extent, Vedabuddhi has to go from inside. That's what is the standard Krishna wants from us. So, and he says here, you can do all this. Praname Dandavad Bhuma Asha Chandrala Khokaram. Then he says, Yavil Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhavo Nobajayade. Till you see me in everyone, up to that point, this sadhana you have to continue. Tavad Deva Upasida Vang Mana Kaya Vritti Bhi. Sarvam Brahmaatmagam, everything is only Atma, Brahmam. Tasya Vidya Atma Manishaya, Paribashyan Uparamed Sarvado Mukta Samshaya. Only a person who has come to that state, Krishna is saying, he is eligible for liberation. Otherwise not. So, that is what here also you can see, that the way the mind has, mind is the engine behind everything. From the mind, it has problems have started, isn't it? So the mind frightens us and we become frightened. And in order to fulfill, we think that solving the problem is by fulfilling the desires of the mind. And in that process, Vedabuddhi develops in us. Vedabuddhi develops inside us. So, and if all these desires are fulfilled, Krishna is saying here that you start thinking, that Vedabuddhi, when Vedabuddhi has, Vedabuddhi means this seeing one higher, one lower. Dvandvam, it is another form of dvandvam. So all this is happened due to the association with the mind. Only due to association with the mind. Atma doesn't have any Vedabuddhi. Jiva also doesn't have any Vedabuddhi. But Jiva feels the Vedabuddhi because of its association with the mind. Association with the mind. So, because of this, and it cannot remain separately from the mind. The moment Jiva manages to break away from the mind, as soon as it breaks away from the mind, Jiva knows that it is a part of Atma. It's a part of Atma. He realizes that Atma and Jiva, we are non-different. We are non-different. That is that stage when it happens. When Jiva realizes that he is not different from the Atma, that's the moment when he has broken up from the mind. And that is called self-realization, isn't it? So, Atma, because we are not conscious of all these things, things are going on, and this is the message, this is the what Jnanam we were talking about. You remember? Udhura, Vidura, Uddhava. They were all talking about Jnanam, Jnanam, isn't it? You can see, they all wanted Jnanam. What is that Jnanam? This experience. That I am not different from the Atma. I am Atma. Instead of I am thinking, I am Jiva and I am identifying the mind. So this breaking away from the mind. So this Tattvam, this is the Tattvam. Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam's principle is this. That very much we have to understand this. And we have to live on these principles as much as one can. One should do that. Because otherwise there is no possibility of freeing ourselves from material existence. Samsaram will continue. So, in the life you can see, we have come to this body now. And in this body also, we have done so many different kinds of karma. Good, bad, mixed, all sorts of things. And it's like a river flowing. Karma is still flowing through us, through this body, in different ways, isn't it? And in the middle of all these things, in the middle of all your life, and in the middle of all this karma that is being executed by us, somehow or the other, at some point in time, you came to know about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the middle of that, somehow you happen to take some interest in the Ekadasha Skandam. And from Ekadasha Skandam, somehow or the other, you got to get a feel for the way how things are happening in our own life, isn't it? So, how many lifetimes we may have gone through before we get to know what Krishna is saying? Not that everyone gets an opportunity to hear that or to realize it, isn't it? So very few people in this world get access to Bhagavatam in that way and they take seriously Bhagavatam. Majority of the people, they just think Bhagavatam is a story and they leave it there. Even those who have come to Srimad Bhagavatam, many people take it Bhagavatam simply as a storybook and leave it there. I've heard all that, I know all the story, they will say like that. But this tattvam, understanding Bhagavatam, is extremely important because this is the guiding factor in life. If this is not there, then whatever we may do in spiritual life, it will simply on the surface. It's all on the surface. It's not going deeper level. It will only go into deeper level when you start accepting Krishna's instructions and translating into our own life. That success is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. But to put the effort into it is in our hands. Success is in Krishna's hands. If Krishna decides, that is very clear, even with Uddhava. Uddhava said to Krishna like this, in the Bhagavatam you can read that. As much as you want me to understand what you have instructed me, that much I will understand, he says to Krishna. Uddhava says this to Krishna. As much as you want me to understand, that's so only that much I will understand. I can't understand anything more than that. Uddhava said this to Krishna. Similarly, our situation also is like that. As much as Krishna wants us to have it, we will get it. Not more than that. But still, Krishna expects us to take it seriously. Otherwise, it won't happen. When we take it seriously, and when Krishna sees that you are serious after his instructions, he will one day or the other show that grace. Otherwise, it won't happen inside. Because the person who has to do is inside, and that's Krishna. Andaryami, inside as Atma, who is present inside, he is the only person who can do that. Nobody else can do that. If he decides, from tomorrow, I'm not going to give this concession to the mind anymore, I'm withdrawing that facility given to the mind, mind is dead and finished, and that is the end of all the spiritual life, all our material existence, samsaram is over, it doesn't exist after that. So that is what Krishna is saying here also, that this discriminative power we have to create. Krishna cannot help us on that way. But in spite of that, in order to get that discrimination, we have to absorb some thoughts related to that. Only when you think you will get that discriminative power, isn't it? And in order to operate that system working, and the only situation where it will work is in the human body. Only in the human body. Not even for the demigods. Not even for the demigods. Because all the demigods, they are considered to be sushma sharini. They have got a subtle body only. It's a subtle body they live. Because even if you go and live in the heavenly planets, there you have gone there only to experience the happiness there. And there you can experience things. Happiness of the that demigod's body or Devadas' body. But there you cannot cultivate knowledge. Spiritual knowledge you can't cultivate in the heavenly planets. You can enjoy through the subtle body there, and their sushma sharinis they are. So that is why demigods, when you do their pictures and all, when they draw, you got to be a little bit careful about that. That they have sushma logam they live. They live in a sushma logam, in a subtle world, in a subtle body they operate. But they can experience everything. Just like when we say subtle body, for example, happiness. We are also experiencing happiness. Where do we experience happiness? In our subtle body, isn't it? So the happiness of the subtle body in a demigod is much, much higher than what we experience here. They only have subtle body, they don't have the gross body. In their subtle body they operate, and in the subtle body they enjoy. In the subtle body they enjoy. In that subtle body they cannot cultivate knowledge. They cannot cultivate knowledge. They don't have a gross body like us. That is why, remember, Katvanga came here back from the heavenly planets to cultivate spiritual life here. Who else has done that? Our other king, Muchukunda. Muchukunda did the same thing, isn't it? He was fighting the war there, and then he comes back here and he says to the demigods, I'm going back to the earthly planet because of the human body, this opportunity is there to engage in cultivating the spiritual knowledge. That facility is not given there in the heavenly planets. So here what you have to remember is this, that for an animal, it cannot cultivate here. An animal cannot cultivate. Animal, for example, a cow, it will have the same knowledge when it was born at the time of death also. The same amount of knowledge only it has got at the time. Similarly, the demigods also, because they also only have the sushma shariram. So sushma shariram, this sushma shariram means subtle body. Sushma means subtle, actually subtle body. Subtle body is purer than our body. For the human body, it's much more pure than our body. Our body has got a lot of dirt, filth in there, isn't it? In the gross form, it's a lot of filth there. And it has got the subtle body of the demigods, not only it's pure, it's more powerful in the presence of Atma there. Atma's presence is more manifested there. And also there is more knowledge there, Vidya. Vidya is also known there. But that is all true. But problem there is, you can't change it. What you have got, that's all it is. Nothing more than that. Nothing less. It will remain the same. The change is only possible in the human body. Change is only possible in the human body. In the human body, you can change whichever way you want it. That means you can increase it, you can decrease it. You can go up or you can come down. Whichever way you like it. So, because of this, samskaram you can't change in a demigod's body. Samskaram you can change. So that is the reason that they are not getting liberated. They are staying in the heavenly planets. Indra and so many others. They have to remain in that state. And if they have to own this facility given to human body, remember in the Bhagavadam how Brahma Uddhava says this. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamava Deva. There's the words there, you can see. That Brahma, when he created this human body, he saw this special facility available for that it can go up or down, and it has got this capacity to cultivate this spiritual knowledge and capacity to change things, this possibility to change. So that is why Krishna keeps saying that Nardeham Adyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnatharam. I have given this human form, Krishna says, for self-realization. Krishna repeats that again and again. And so Krishna says here, in this human form of body, if it is not executed, then it's a big chance what we have lost. Big chance what we have lost. So instead of realizing the truth, Krishna says, if we feel that, oh, I've got this human body, I've got to suffer like this, and this is, I'm not possible for me to change my situation, then that means we will be continue to come back again and continue with the material existence. So that is the important point in this verse. Krishna is saying here that this tattvajnanam, that means this knowledge what the Bhikshu has spoken so far, one who absorbs that and one who endeavors in that direction, that is his greatest success in life. Success in life. So people, so many people have got so many capacity in this world for doing various things. But in among them, there's only very few people who are endeavoring in the spiritual path. Is it not? If you look into the world, into the general world, how many people are serious about spiritual life? Very, very few. Very, very few. Is it not? There are many people who will say that they are interested in the going to the temple and participating in the program. In one level, yes. But those who are extremely serious about spiritual life And living a life for self-realization is very few. Is very, very few. Is it not? But some people, due to our prarabdham also, that's also there. But in spite of all that, one who have completely committed to spiritual life and keeping the spiritual self-realization as the goal and working towards that all the time is very, very few. So those who are doing that, they should talk about it to others. They should talk about it to others. If they don't talk about it, then what will happen? Who will talk to others about it? So definitely they must do that. So whatever time we have and whatever capacity we have, within that capacity, if we do not utilize it, and this tattvajnanam, what is in the Bhagavadam, what Krishna has given to Uddhava, if that tattvajnanam is not taken on board, then our spiritual life also will topple. One day it will remain, it won't get the strength. That is why Krishna spoke that to Uddhava, because Krishna thought about it before he spoke to Uddhava. Before Krishna left the planet, Uddhava was saying to Krishna, why don't you stay in this world for some more time? Krishna says, I am staying here, but it will not be this form what you see me. It will be in the form of this Bhagavadam. That's what he said, isn't it? Srimal Bhagavada Kyoyam Pratyaksha Krishnam Evahi. Because that is what it is. Pratyaksha Krishnam is Srimal Bhagavadam. Srimal Bhagavadam is not different from Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's instructions it is, isn't it? So whatever Krishna has meant, what Krishna meant was that he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I don't go away. I will be here in the form of these instructions. And you can take advantage of it. Come back to me with that. Anybody else can do that. Rather than me staying here, it's my instructions is more important, Krishna says. Because if I leave these instructions for many, many generations to come, if they want, they can take advantage of it. That is how Krishna left the world. When he departed physically from this world, this is what the words he has used when he spoke to Uddhava. So as soon as he gets in, he gets liberated, this knowledge of the Bhagavadam. So if one person gets liberated somehow, if one person makes it, remember Prabhupada mentions that in the introduction, Bhagavad Gita. If one person becomes Krishna conscious, he says, then the whole world gets benefited. That is the way it is. So I think it is 9:45. We'll have a short break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrita swadanam sarvabna sumanam param jayve shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagai bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nemida smaranena kala एतादृशीतव कृपा भगवन् ममावि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारविशुनीचेनं तरोरपि सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहै दुहित्वै ऐ नन्दनुजकिङ्करं पतितामां विषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलीसदृशं विचिन्तय स्मयनं गलदश्रुधारय वदनं गन्धदरुद्धया गिरपुलगैर्निजितं कदा वभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत् सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे श्रिष्यवापादरतां विनष्टुमाम् अदर्शनामर्महदां करोतु वां यथा तदा वा विदधा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा अनीहमाल्पा मनसा समीहा समीहदा हिरण्मयो मल्सगमुद्विजष्टे मनस्सुलिङ्गं परिगृह्य कामाञ्जुषान् निबद्धान् गुणसङ्गतोऽसौ Jushan Nibandhan Gunasanga Dosau. Krishna is saying that we have seen so far how the mind gets trapped in the world. Because mind gets its strength from the world. The modes of nature from the mind. In the mind, which association with the world means modes of nature builds up inside. From there, avidya tamogunam comes.
And from that tamogunam desires come, and from the desire karmam comes, and from the karmam karma phalam, and more jannam, the result of that. So when this knowledge, what he has explained in that verse, aniham atma, atma is aniha, it doesn't have any karmam, it doesn't have any sort of kalangam. Kalangam means any fault in the atma. You can't find any fault in the atma. Atma is so perfect. If there is one thing that is perfect in the whole creation, it is atma. Nothing else is perfect here. So this Krishna is saying that if you want perfection, the only way is to associate with the perfect, with the atma. Otherwise, it's not possible. So if one person gets liberated, released from this bondage, then it can help this world a lot. There may not be many, but there will be very, very few. So those who have got the capacity, or who have got that opportunity, they should utilize that. And Krishna mentions in this chapter, in this verse, that mind is the greatest enemy in that process. And if the mind is released, the mind gets better, he can be your friend as well, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? There, how Krishna puts it is that udharedatman atmanam atmana avasadayat atmanne atmano bandhu atmaiva ribur atmana. So there it is said like that, he is your friend and he is your enemy. But when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, what does Krishna say about the mind? He says, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoh. Ekadasha skandam talks directly about liberation. Therefore, he says, it is one of the previous chapters, I can't remember which one it is. He says, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoh. I think it's 14, 13, somewhere there, chapter. Mana eva manushyanam. For the human body, mind is the only cause, he says. Mana eva manushyanam karanam. For what? Bandham and moksham. For bondage and liberation, there's only one cause, that's the mind in the human body. That's the mind in the human body. So, and if that gets better, if that mind is released, from then you are released. If the mind is released from the world, then you are released from the world. So, so that is the only way he says. That's why he says here, manaswalingam parigrihya kaman. Because of the guna sambandham, because of the gunam, three modes of material nature, these three modes of material nature will never allow the mind to get better. It will not allow the mind to get better. It will only spoil the mind. That's what three modes of material nature does. This is the reason why Krishna specifically discusses three modes of nature in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this three modes of nature is discussed in the Sankhya. Mostly it is coming from the Sankhya. So, Gunabhava means these modes of nature, they create karma vasana inside us. And then it will drag into karmam and get him entangled somehow in the karma. That is what Krishna says there. Isn't it? Karmam, you'll engage in the karma. Gunabhavam creates karma vasana. Gunabhavam creates karma vasana. And karma vasana will drag him into karma and he will get caught up in that karma for the rest of the life, and they'll find that very, very difficult. So, so this Avanti Brahmana says, that Bhikshu Gita, he says here, the mind alone always has a primary role in everything. It has a primary role in determining the quality of our life here, in this world also. So, Manojayam, he says here, isn't it? Manojayam. Manojayam means till you win over this mind, in the next few verses you will see that Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi. In the next verse he will say this, then till the mind reaches into that samadhi state, the quality of our life will depend on the quality of our experiences here. Whatever experiences you have, based on that your quality of life. So this experience of the world comes when the world enters into the mind. That's when you start experiencing the world, is it not? When you start experiencing the world, that is when the mind world enters into the mind. That's when you experience that. So, no part of the world can be experienced until that part of the world enters into your mind. Enters into the mind. For example, suppose you say that we say, oh, Kailash is a wonderful place. When we see on the photographs, Manasarovar, Kailash, beautiful places, isn't it? So pure and so clean, untouched by the human civilization. So attractive places. But whatever experience it has to give, if you want to experience that now, it has to get into my mind. Otherwise I can't experience that, isn't it? When I see the photographs of Kailash or Manasarovar, the Himalayas and the beauty and the glory of the Himalayas and this Manasarovar and places like that, when you see, when do you feel affected by that? When it enters into my mind, is it not? When it enters into my mind. It can enter into my mind. Either directly, if I go there, if I see it, I may get affected, or through a picture, I can get affected by that. But in order to give you the experience, the mind has to interpret that first to me. Mind does that interpretation. It's very nice. It's pleasant. It's a nice experience, isn't it? So everything in this world is like that. If the mind interprets that object in a particular way, only then I can experience that. Depending on how the mind interprets that object, that will be my experience. We know that, don't we? That's how it works. So that means what? Anything when it comes to the mind, the first thing what the mind does is it interprets the object. It interprets the object. It's not coming as it is. As soon as it comes, interpretation starts. It says, as soon as I see here about the city center, oh, it's very busy. I can't go there. I feel disturbed to go there, to drive through all the traffic and to find a place to park. And so many people walking up and down in the middle of all that, you don't want to be there. So a feeling of distancing comes there itself. Who has done this? The mind has done that. Similarly, mind is telling you that if you go to such and such a place, you feel a spiritual happiness. Or you may have had that experience before, or you may have heard from someone, or read from some book. Somehow or the other, it has projected something and the mind has interpreted that and given it to you as a place to visit. So, similarly, this option is given to me to interpret this world in a positive or negative way, whichever way I like it. So, the world which is not labeled, you have not put any label on the world, that world is not experienced by me. Unlabeled world, it's called. That you have not put any label on the world yet. Once you have put the label, then you will experience the world, isn't it? And so therefore, your judgment on the world is always in this way, that it is the interpreted world. What the mind has interpreted, that is the one you have experienced. And it is always the judged world. What you have made the judgment about this world, such and such a place is nice, and which means people, places, experiences, events, everything. What has already been interpreted, that is what is in your experience. What the mind has interpreted. So, if I have got a corrupt mind, it will interpret in the world anything in the same way, in a corrupt way, isn't it? If my mind is corrupted by different emotions, anger, lust, greed, envy, things like that, then it is through that corrupted mind that I am interpreting the world. So any event in the world, it can become negative, and once the mind is going to interpret it negatively, then the experience will also be dubbed as negative experience. If the mind has given you an experience in a negative way, it has interpreted that, then your experience is also negative. You see how that will work. Therefore, the irrespective of the quality of the world, ultimately my experience is not dependent on the quality of the world, but is going to depend on the label you have put on that. How your mind is interpreted is dependent on that. Not the what the world is, it may not be. What you interpreted is more important. Always it's like that. When you say somebody has spoken something bad about another person, your mind has taken that on board. If you have taken it, then all your dealings with that person will be based on the interpretation of what the mind has done. You are not seeing that person anymore in a straightforward way. You are seeing based on what has been spoken about him. Already you heard something about him. And you can see the internet does a good job on that. Everything and everything is there on the internet. There's nothing which is not there. And same way, good thing and the bad thing in the same way. We read something, so many good things. That's why this internet seva has started. Web seva they call it. What all people does in this world. Suppose there is a crook, big crook, criminal in this world. You can make him a very divine and godly person through internet seva. Say 100 persons write everything good about him. He is so noble, he is so realized, he is so advanced, he knows everything, he is an incarnation, he is this, he is that. You write up all sorts of things about him. True or not false, doesn't matter. Then you read them and then you start thinking, he must be a really great soul because everybody has written about it. Opposite side also. Suppose you want to pull somebody down, all you have to do, 10 people join together and every day do some web seva. You can bring him down in the same way. Then anyone who comes into contact with him, he'll say, oh, we know about him. Oh, the temple threw him out, didn't they? So he must be really a bad person. Otherwise, why did the temple throw him out? That's the next question comes to their head. This is the world. This is the mind us. You can't blame anybody because the nature of the mind interprets things. Mind interprets like this. Because the temple has thrown him out, that must be something wrong with that man. That we got to be careful while dealing with him. Things like that. It happens in this way. So, what you are experiencing actually is the interpreted world that what you are experiencing. You are not experiencing the real world. Somebody who has interpreted that world in a particular way, that's what you've got. That's what you've got. So, there's so many examples in business. This is very important in business. Marketing is based on this principle, isn't it? Marketing is done like that. There's a story about that. You can read that in the internet also, what they say. that they mentions like this. If the mind is positive, it can interpret even the worst things in a positive manner. It can interpret it like that. A shoe company, a manufacturer of shoes, they give this example of the shoe company. He says this, they like this. They send their representative to a new country where people never had shoes or, you know, they never wore shoes before. Warm weather, and they're used to walking on the ground. They got used to it. There are so many places in the world like that, isn't it? The shoes is a new thing. It's only probably for the last 40, 50. Now there is only shoes wherever you go. Half the house is full of shoes. So that's now, today. But it wasn't like that. So one shoe company was trying to market in a newborn country where shoes were not in use before. So what they said, they sent their two representatives, they sent there. How to start marketing the shoes. They had to get all the people to buy shoes, isn't it? So, undeveloped country, they call it undeveloped, because they were not wearing shoes. Therefore, they were undeveloped. So, one said that one representative came back and he said, nobody's wearing shoes here, so what marketing can I do? He said, what can I market about it? Therefore, there is no scope, he said, for entering that country. He says, there's no possibility of selling anything. The other one went there and he came back and he says there, we have got a fantastic market there, he says. He says, there's an amazing market there, he says, the whole market is in our hands, he said. So the two people went there and then the two came back with two different ideas. Why? Because he says, then they asked him, why do you say like that? He says, nobody's wearing shoes, he says. So he saw it in a positive way, that I can cultivate so many customers, because if there's too much competition, it's difficult to sell, isn't it? So he says that, so we can capture the whole market, he says like that. So now the experience is the same for both the people, but they have interpreted in two different ways. Is it not? They interpreted in two different ways. So this is the difficulty, that this is in spiritual life also, you will see this. That some people who knows that this same philosophy, they bring it into spiritual life. They get 10 people, say, you write so many things, good things about me, and let everybody read that. This is called web seva, isn't it? Web seva. And make a lot of people to read that. Say 10 people through all the websites, you keep on writing things about somebody. And somebody is saying, oh, everybody is saying this. He must be really realized his soul. In this way, it's very easy to mislead public in that way. It's not so difficult. And so that is what Krishna is saying also, that positive, a corrupt mind is negative, either positively or negatively. It can corrupt. In either way, it is corrupt. It will never give you the picture. Expert mind is expert, or the mind which is in a negative way, it interprets, it gives you a lot of problems. Positive way also, it can create problems in either way. So, suppose you say, the roads in United Kingdom are very good. All the roads are very good. Somebody will tell you, you don't know, he said, how many potholes are there in the road and how much money they have wasted on the road building and how much money was swindled. People don't know anything about it, isn't it? So much road construction going on, and they say £1 million for building 1 kilometer road and things like that. Because somebody is saying that road construction involves a lot of corruption also. A lot of money gets squandered in that process. You can see sometimes road repair works and construction of new roads, is not everything is so straightforward. There's a lot of underhand dealings happens there. And many instances, the quality of construction may not be up to the mark and things like that. Suppose, and they, because someone knows about it, that how much tax money is wasted, taxpayers' money is wasted in the road construction, he says that it is better they don't build the roads because so much corruption is involved in that. And he says that the taxpayers' money has been eaten away. So the corrupt mind will see two different sides of the same thing. One mind is saying that, oh, it's so nice that all the roads are built and constructed and kept very well, signposted and maintained well. One person is seeing it like that. Another person is saying, I wish they didn't build all these roads because there is so much taxpayers' money wasted in that process. And it is managed so badly that so much money has wasted. So in this way, when we relate with the world, our experiences is based on these information that comes to us through different sources. And under all conditions, therefore determining the quality of our experiences here, the surroundings plays a big role. The surroundings plays a big role. We don't deny that. But Shastra is saying to us that surroundings of the world only plays a secondary role. This is the most important thing. Primary role is played by the mind. Now from these examples, why we are saying these examples was, these things do corrupt everything. Based on that, the mind interprets it, and based on that we form our own opinion. And we react based on that, isn't it, in different situations. So people will generally say like this, that the world has an influence on us. World has an influence on us. What Vedangam is saying is, world is not the primary factor. Mind is the primary factor. World is a secondary factor. But normally when we take into account, we say world is the primary factor, mind is a secondary factor. In Vedantam, mind is the primary factor, world is a secondary factor. This is a big difference it makes. Everything will change if you switch in this way. If you start taking mind seriously and start dealing with the mind instead of dealing with the world, you will see there will be a big change in your own life. You will feel happier that way. Whereas if you take the world seriously and don't take the mind seriously and accepting the interpretation of the mind, then you will suffer a lot. You will suffer a lot. As far as the world is concerned, there is not a lot you can do. But as the world is mind is concerned, you can do something about it. Vedantam give importance to mind, not to the world. This is a very fundamental principle in the Vedantam. That's what Krishna is going to talk about that in the future, in many verses. He will say here that this seeing this, that mind plays the primary role. World plays the secondary role. World doesn't play the primary role. Mind plays the primary role. So in order to do that, to make the world mind as the primary, we need this quality. Which one? Tidiksha. Tidiksha is required. Without tidiksha, it is not possible. And because when tidiksha is very low, if your tidiksha level is very low, interpretation will be, mind will definitely interpret. Mind is going to interpret, no matter what you do. But when the mind interprets, it will be mostly negative if your tidiksha level is very low. It's going to interpret very negatively. In a very negative way, if your interpretation is, if your tidiksha is very, very low. Tidiksha is very, very low. When tidiksha is very high, then the interpretation will be more and more positive. You won't feel so much negativity in the world. So much negativity in the world. We experience that in sometimes when you deal, we have to deal with all sorts of people in this world. And if your tidiksha is very poor, then you will find very hard to go through them, go with them, and work with them, and to deal with them. It becomes very difficult, is it not? But if your tidiksha is very good, then you can still able to get on with them. So that's what it is. Because what you have done there is, that instead of accepting the world as a primary factor, you have taken the mind as the primary thing and dealt with that. So, if one says like that, it means that he has, as tidiksha comes down, we can see that we become more and more negative. We become more and more negative, or sometimes we become cynical. There are people like that, they become so cynical, there's nothing good there anymore. Everything is finished, you say. So they become so cynical about that. And any improvement in the world, the older generation can never see it as improvement. As you get older also, this is a problem. Even if something good happens, you will say, oh, what's there? It's all new things. We can't do anything about it. They have changed everything. And even if it's something good, you won't be able to accept that. So that is why Bhikshu is saying here that the unintelligent people concentrate on the setup. Unintelligent people. Intelligent people concentrate on the mind. Unintelligent people, they concentrate on the mind. You see, whatever that's going on in the world, ultimately what does it matter? What matters to us is how it affects me. That's more important, isn't it? Suppose any nonsense is going on in this world, in so many places, in so many ways. It doesn't matter, let it go on. But if it's affecting me, then I have to be concerned about that. So if it's affecting me in a negative way, then I have to look at it seriously. Why it's happening? Because my mind has interpreted something in a particular way, and therefore I've accepted that. And when we start refining the mind in that way, that is when spiritual life begins. Spirituality starts at that point. That suppose you are having so many negative experiences in this world, and you are seeing so many problems coming from so many angles, in whatever, even in spiritual life, and if you start looking at it and seeing that why does it happen to me, that I am finding everything so negative? Reason being that the mind has interpreted it like that. So rather than correcting that situation there, where you feel that correction is required, it's better to correct one's own mind there, in whatever way that is necessary. That negativity has been created by the mind rather than the event that has happened there. So the difference between a spiritual person and a materialist is this, that the quality of life depends on the experiences, but quality of experiences will depend on the surroundings for the materialistic person. Spiritual approach is quality of life depends on experiences, and quality of experiences depends on the mind. This is spiritual approach. Spiritual approach is quality of life depends on the mind, and the spiritual experiences of the world is the experience of the mind, but quality of life depends on the experience of the mind. Whereas the spiritual person, quality of life depends completely on the experiences. Completely on the experiences. For example, you can see, so you see here the even the you see in Krishna uses a word in the Bhagavad Gita, sthita prajna, isn't it? Sthita prajna, you remember? Fixed steady intelligence in the second chapter. And Arjuna asked a question, how does a sthita prajna behave in this world? How does he walk? How does he sleep? How does he eat? How does he speak? So many things Arjuna asked Krishna. So Krishna says there, sthita prajna is called. That means he is fixed in his steady intelligence. Man of steady intelligence. He also is living in the same world where we are living. He's not living in another world. And he also has similar experiences like we have. Whatever experiences we have, he also has the same experiences. And he also has his prarabdham. Although he is steady intelligence and all that, his prarabdham has not left. But he is a sthita prajna. Now, what is sthita prajna? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that. Dukkheshu anudvigna mana. There is a word there. It's important words in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkheshu anudvigna mana. I think it is in the 13th or 14th or something like that. Dukkheshu anudvigna mana. Sukheshu vigatha spraha. He says.
256.
So which one? 256. Yeah. Dukkheshu anudvigna mana. Sukheshu. 56. Sukheshu vigada spraha. Vida raga bhaya krodha stidadhir muni ruchyade. One who is not disturbed in mind, even in the midst, amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Dukheshu anidvigna mana, sukheshu vigada spraha, vida raga bhaya krodham, stidadhir munir uchyate. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So, this dukheshu sthita prajna, Krishna is saying here that he has learned to handle the mind. That's what he has done. That is his success. World has not changed. He has all the experiences what we have. That is the difference between us and a sthita prajna. And a sthita prajna. He says here, if you look into that, you will see. Next words also. Yes, sarvatra nabhisnehas tattat prapya shubhashubham nabhi nandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pratishtida. So, in the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So, dukkheshu anudvignamana sukheshu vigadaspraha vidaraga bhayakrodam sthidadhir muniruchyate. Then he says, ye sarvatra nabhisneha, sarvatra man abhisnehas tattat prapishubhashubham Nabhi Nandati Nadveshti Tasya Pratnya Pratishtida. Those two verses, if you study, you can see what Krishna is saying here is that a sthita prajna, what is his success? He has learned to handle the mind. That's what it is. World is same for him, like what we have. World is doing the same thing to us, what is doing to him as well. Everything, no difference at all. The only difference is, normally for us, the experiences of the world is based on which we act. A sthita prajna does not act. What he does is, he looks into his mind and how the mind has interpreted that, and then he corrects the mind. And therefore, the experience of the world directly does not go into him. He changes it in the mind. He makes the alteration in the mind. He corrects it in the mind. Experience is the same for us and for him. But because he has learned this technique of correcting the mind before getting victimized by that, he does not feel so much negativity in the world. It is easy to reject everything in the world, isn't it? Rejection doesn't help. We have to accommodate everything. Within that, we have to find the truth. In the middle of all this, we have to realize the truth. So therefore, suppose in the, sometimes we say, oh, he's a karmi or he's a demon. You can write off everybody like that in this world. So who will be left? And only you will be left alone. There will be nobody else in this world. That is no good. That's not spiritual life. Spiritual life is like this, that you see this, that without getting affected by the world, able to withstand the world, and at the same time, we realize the truth, and that will benefit the world. That's the way Krishna presents this. Otherwise, this sthita pratyatvam won't happen. Krishna is saying sthita pratyatvam. When Arjuna asked that question, this is how Krishna replied, isn't it? Dukheshu anudvignamana sukheshu vigadaspraha. Sukheshu vigadaspraha. So you can see that sthita prajna is also living in the same world we are living. What is the difference? Difference is he has learned how to interpret things, what the mind is interpreting, how to correct it in the right place. And even though the negative experience he has got it, at the same time, was able to change there. Sthita prajna are not able to change, and he is able to remain happy in spite of all the negative experiences. often they say a sthita prajna means a highly realized person is, isn't it? He's fixed in his steady state. So it is not possible always, sometimes, to change everyone who is with you. It is not possible. It's impossible to do that, to change everybody is with you, because everybody is different in that way. So sthita prajna are not able to change them, but instead he is still happy. Why? Because irrespective of the impact of the teachings, he has to manage to be happy. He has to manage to be happy. That means even if those who are with you, even if they are in an unhappy situation, because ultimately others are unhappy. Why? Because the world has affected them. They were not able to change the world, and they have changed the interpretation of their mind properly. Therefore, they are affected by that. So, in their association, if you also get affected, then it is no point, is it not? So, the main thing is, it is said that the person, one who is steady intelligence, he should remain steady. How? Even though the world is throwing the same experiences like anybody else, when he receives them, and when his mind is interpreting them, he has to make the correction there. At that point, it's necessary. And this is the essence of this Manojayam, what he calls it as the Manojayam of the Bhikshu Gita. And that is what spirituality is talking about. So you can see there, for example, in the market conditions. Market, you are buying products now, different products. So, in the early days, you could buy quality products, even though you paid high price. But due to competition, what happened? People started producing cheap goods, isn't it, to compete in the market. So, you can see some people complaining, some older people. They say, oh, when we were young people, bought clothes when we bought. They were first class quality. It lasted long. And now, everything quality is so poor, it hardly lasts for a few months and then the cloth is gone. Similarly, about clothes they say, about umbrella they say like that. So, similarly about various things, fridge, washing machine, everything, which lasted long time before, they say, and then the manufacturer says, so it's not designed for so long, it's only supposed to last for 12 months or 24 months. They say like that, isn't it? So, so here, they complain that the product is manufactured in a poor quality. They say like that, isn't it? So because the company has to sell the product. So if the quality is too high, then the price is too high. The product won't sell. Product won't sell. So if the product, when lower quality products are sold in the market, when it's being purchased in a company, the purchase department has got difficulties while buying those products. And they're saying like this, and the purchase department buy the product and supplies that to the users inside the factory, whoever using it. So they blame the purchase department, saying that you have purchased the lower quality products. Purchase department says that we have been looking at the more with the price rather than the quality. In this way, the situation happens like that. So when they say it's a substandard, purchase department says that the product what we have purchased is for the price what we have paid. We have got the price savings in that. So, in everything is a relative in this world. Similarly, when we discuss about this world also, the world what somebody is seeing is from his angle, his interpretation of the world. We see the world in a different way based on our interpretation of the world, although the world is the same world. Interpretation is more important than the world itself. That's the important point. If we get that understanding, how we interpret the world, that's more important than the world itself. Because it's based on the interpretation that all your after effects in you, what happens with the mind. So, so that is why they say that this problem, this happens particularly in industry and all that, that somebody supplies good quality product to the purchase department. Purchase department goes and buys a lower quality product. So the company which manufactures good product, they are saying that the purchase department is very correct. They are buying the lower quality product. And because somebody must have paid money, even though nothing has happened there. It can happen like that. So every product is coming from the same world. And Krishna is also saying to us, even if I give you the best product in spiritual life, if your mind is corrupt, you will interpret it in the wrong way and make a meal of the whole thing. That has also happened, isn't it? That also you can see. Krishna is saying, I will give you the best one, but if you corrupt it, what can I do? And Uddhava asked this question once to Krishna. That earlier chapter we have seen, why these differences have come. Krishna says, they are not their fault, Uddhava. It is that modes of nature has done that in them. So same thing is mentioning here also, that if everything goes well, I will not complain. But when things go wrong, I don't know how it is going. Therefore we can manage to be depressed also, even in the best circumstances. We may be all the enthusiasm in the worst circumstances. Also, very much depends on the type of mind what we have. Type of the mind what we have. So, so, manaswalingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddo gunasangadosau. I don't know whether you got the message from that verse. Krishna is saying, manaswalingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibaddo gunasangadosau. We have to be careful, Krishna is saying there, that it is not the world that is the problem. Problem is the modes of nature. Modes of nature will interpret the world in a particular way to you. So if your modes of nature are very much in the lower modes, then it will interpret in the world in such a way, and you are complaining about the world then. You see that? Jushan nibhaddo gunasangadosa, he says there, isn't it? Gunasangadosa. So the unintelligent jiva who do not find out this role of the mind will try to transform the setup all the time. Setup means the world. The unintelligent jiva who does not understand this principle, what he will do? He will go and try to change the world. Try to change the world. So, and the type of interpretation, he will not look at it. He will look at the world and start changing the world. For it will depend upon the way he deals with the world. You see, this correction of the world also depends on the gunam in which you are in. It's a very important point. For example, suppose you want to change the world. You say, there's so many things wrong here in this world, and you want to change that world. And you are also under the three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajagunam or tamogunam. Now the way a tamoguni will change the world, the way a rajoguni will change the world, the way a sattvaguni will change the world will be different. All of them agree there is some problem in the world. Tamoguni will say how we will change the world, he will be different than the way rajoguni will change. A sattvaguni will change in a different way. The sattvagunam, person in sattvagunam, he will operate in a very silent way. His setup will be very silent. And both are, they are all bound. Main thing what Krishna says there, if you want to change the world, first you have to come out of the modes of nature. After that you change the world, Krishna says, like that. Otherwise, what will happen is, you will inject your gunam into the world more. Rajogunam, person who is in Rajogunam, they are these big politicians and the big businessmen. Their way of changing the world, they are also trying to change the world. Businessmen through opening new factories and new manufacturing, and politicians through their different political plans, isn't it? That the way they try to bring peace into this world. They want to change the world, they want to bring peace into the world. And they try to establish various ways, which is all in Rajogunam. So because it is in Rajogunam, both the politicians and the businessmen who are trying to do that, the after effect you can see is also very disturbed. It is because of that. Whereas if a person in Sattvagunam, when he changes the world, you see the end result, the people are more peaceful. Is it not? You can see that. When a person in Sattvagunam, when he changes the world, when he influences the world, the after effect of that in the people is more positive than in the way a person in Rajogunam has changed the world. A person in the Tamogunam, when he changes the world, the people who have got been affected by him, they will be more in anxiety, fear, depression, worry and all other things with that. So silence means like that. Why Krishna is saying this is that if you understand this verse, manasso lingam parigrihya kaman jushan nibhaddo gunasangadoso. This gunasangam, sangam with the gunam, I mean connection with the modes of nature, will determine the after effect of your action, in which gunam you are operating. That is why in sattvagunam anything is done, it will have a sattvic effect. But in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if something is conducted, the result also will be Rajasic or Tamasic. Rajasic or Tamasic. So therefore, Krishna says here that the solution to this problem is correction the mind is more importance given than correcting the world. This is for this reason. That is why none of the great personalities, they didn't believe in the world so much. They always stressed, you can see, they always stressed on correcting the mind inside. If that's corrected, everything is solved. That is their solution to the problem. It's not, the correction is not outside. And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next two verses. Next two verses. That's what the principle in the next two verses. That by doing things outwardly is not the solution to the problem. It's a big principle in spiritual life. It takes a long time to come to that point. Initially, with all sorts of enthusiasm, we jump into the whole thing. All courses, seminars, everything, we get involved. And then whatever we have been told, we have done all that. What do they say? Gone, been there, had done everything, got the t-shirt. And then he says, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Then you walk around as though you are somebody in the world. You got everything under control. That's what the next two verses are talking about. Krishna is saying to us that without that control of the mind, no matter what you do in the world, it's all be a failure at the end. That's an important principle of spiritual life. If we get that message, most of our spiritual problems will go with that. Because where the correction is required, we are not doing anything. In the last three verses, that is 43, 44 and 45, first Krishna identified the problem. Avanti Brahmana identified the problem that the mind is the center of everything. Then he told us how the mind functions in this world. That is what Mano Gunanvai, and he also explained to us the power of that mind. Mano Gunanvai Srajade Viliyam Stadascha Karmani Vilakshanani, because mind and karma are closely connected, whether in material life or in spiritual life. Mind and karma means closely connected. And so therefore, Shuklani, Krishnani, Tatha, Atha, Lohidani, three kinds of karma will come from that. He has said that. And then he mentioned in the third verse, Aniha Alma, in reality, you are not affected by any of these things. Aniha. Alma has no kartrutva bhoktrutvam in Alma. Atma cannot have kartrutva bhoktrutvam. That I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. That's also coming from the mind. And he also mentioned there that Hiranmaya Malsaga Udvichashte. That because how Jiva suffers due to its association with the mind, mind gets its potency from the Atma. Atma gives the strength for the mind. Manas Swalingam Parigrihya Kaman. And the problems of the jiva has started when it started associating with the mind. Problems have started. Jushan nibhaddo gunasanga doso. And you got bound. The bondage has happened with the association with the mind. Gunasanga doso. Mind means gunam. Modes of nature. Mind means modes of nature. Gunasanga doso. It is only because of the after effect of that, this bondage is experienced. Saying that, those three verses finished there. Then what our Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana is saying, that if you manage to control your mind, if you got correction inside the mind, instead of dealing with the world directly, look at the mind, how the mind is interpreting the world. And if you have tolerated titiksha in you, then this world will not be anymore a negative force to you. You won't feel that negativity so strongly. But in order to do that, he says, titiksha is an absolute necessity. Only if you have titiksha, then when the mind is interpreting in a different way, in a negative way, that negativity will go away the more titiksha is present in a person. If we have more titiksha, then that negativity will reduce. But if there is no titiksha, then our negativity will increase in us, with respect to the world. Brahmana says, and therefore, he says, if you have got this control of the mind, You have got everything. You don't need anything after that. And because it is like that, he says, other things what you do outside in the world, they have very limited influence on you compared to what the mind is doing for you. That is how he mentions in there. That is why he says there, Danam swadharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani jasal vradani sarve mano nigraha lakshanandaha parohi yogo manasas samadhi. Jnanam swadharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani jasal vradani sarve mano nigraha lakshanandaha parohi yogo manasas samadhi. You see, and then he again says that samahidam yasya mana prashandam dana dibikim vadadasya kritiam asamyadam yasya mano vinashya dana dibischedabaram kimebhi samahidam yasya mana prashandam dana dibikim vadadasya kritiam asamyadam yasya mano vinashya dhanadibhischedabaram kimebhi. These two verses. First verse, Krishna is saying, Brahmana is saying, dhanam. Dhanam means charity, giving charity. Then swadharmam, one who follows his own prescribed duties, whatever that is. Then yamam niyamam, niyamo yamascha. Yama niyama means control of the, following the regulated principles of life. Then, adhyayanam, shrutamcha karmani cha sadvradani. Shrutamcha means studying the shastram. And karmani, all different kinds of activities. Then sadvradani. Vradani means all the fasting and things like that. Ekadashi, Janmashtami and all other things. All these things, what is the purpose behind that? He's saying, purpose is only to get this mind under control. That's all. And he says here, sarve manonigraha lakshanandaha. The goal is manonigraham, getting the control of the mind. And if you think that, then are they not part of the sadhana for cultivating the spiritual knowledge? If you ask that question, sarve manonigraha lakshanandaha, he says, parohi yogo manasa samadhi. If you have got complete control of the mind, that is the greatest realization, knowledge also. Getting this mind under control. Because if there is a proper control of the mind, if the mind has come under control, that means you are in the perfect state of knowledge. It is in the perfect state of knowledge. Because you can see there that why this question came up. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. The question will ask, people will ask, oh, Ekadashi, I am following Ekadashi. And is not Ekadashi a part of my bhakti process? Is Ekadashi not a part of my devotional process to please Krishna? No. It is actually for getting the control of the mind. It's getting the control of the mind. Because you can see that if I fast here, what benefit Krishna gets there? You can ask that question, can't you? Then, does he feel happy if I am starving here? What is the logic? What is the connection between the two? You have to ask this question, isn't it? If you ask the question, the answer is that, oh, Krishna says, no, every 15 days you starve for a day. So it makes me happy when we are starving here for a day. If he says like that, or in the same way, anything else, you can take it. That, oh, every morning you should get up at 3 o'clock. What does Krishna get me getting up at 3 o'clock? Why doesn't he let me sleep till 6 o'clock happily? What's he going to get? No, the idea behind all these things to discipline ourselves, to get that mind under control. Because if you do these things, that is why sadhana and all the the things associated with sadhana, you can't give up at any stage till this mind has come under control. After that you can do it, but that may not happen so easily. It's going to be a long, long, long haul. So till that happens, this has to be done. That is the principle. Otherwise, what does it matter to Krishna? If I sleep, I don't sleep. If I eat, I don't eat. Why Krishna is bothered about it? So the principle is this, that is what Bhikshu is saying here also. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. the only idea behind it is manonigraham, to get that mind under control. Parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Because if the mind has come under control, it will reach that samadhi state. Samadhi state means it will escape from the grip of these three states. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushumti. It will get released from the three states. And that state is called samadhi, and that is yoga state, and that is this state of the mind then. Parohi yogo manasa samadhi. You will see that again and again, Krishna is going to talk about that. That the parohi yogo manasa samadhi, that samadhi state is nothing but this, that the mind is under control. Mind is under control. And that is where we have sometimes problem, isn't it? That mind will all come under control if we have eaten a lot of prasadam. And we interpret out. That's also mind is interpreting that. That who else is doing that? Shastram doesn't say like that. Shastram says that you have to have a control on the tongue, isn't it? What does it say in the Ekadasha Skandham? It says like that. Remember? When we discuss the... When we discuss that 24 spiritual masters, Dattatreya Maharshi says there, he said that jihwa is the tongue. He says there, there is a very powerful way he has put it. He said he is the leader of all the senses because he speaks and he eats, the tongue. Therefore, he has got two dual functions. Therefore, he is the leader of all the senses. Is it not? So there is one very, very important statement in that, I think it is in the 7th or 8th chapter, where we talked about the 24 spiritual masters. He is talking about the tongue. He says that, forget that, he said that. Come later. Say, sarvo mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. So, in that verse, he said, what did he say? It is when they were discussing about that fish, yeah. What was the word?
819,
yeah? 19. Yeah. Look at verse 21. That's the conclusion of that. Fish, of course it's about the fish. It says, yeah, tavat jidendriyo nasyal, jidanyendriya puman, vijidan anyendriya puman, that is the verse, najayed rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jide rase, najayed rasanam yaval jidam sarvam jide rase. That is what the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying. He says that rase jidetu sarvam jidam cha bhavati. Suppose you have won over your tongue. That means all other senses have come under control. If you have won over the tongue. Won over the tongue. Na jaye rasanam yavat jidam sarvam jide rase. He says there. So, taval jidendriyo nasyal vijidan yendriya puman. Na jaye rasanam yavat jidam sarvam jide rase. So, that is the principle. So, sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Danam danadeya sarve mano nigraha lakshananda bhavanti. Danam sodharmam yamam niyamam adhyayanam karmam Sadvradani. Sadvradani means all this. Fasting, Ekadashi. So many fastings, isn't it? All, it's only with this purpose. Only for, with this purpose. But in Bhakti Yoga also you can see there is fasting appearance day, disappearance day for great, great personalities. So it is related to some personalities, appearance and disappearance. Why it's done like that? So it will induce you to fast in that way. That's all. Otherwise by me fasting, that Mahatma, what he is going to get? What's he going to gain from that, putting me starving here? So the reason is this. Sarve mano nigraha. He says here, sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. Mano nigraha, to my own benefit it is. It's not for his benefit I'm doing this. Oh, today is Swachha Goswami's appearance day, Rupa Goswami's appearance day. I have to fast till noon. Or Narasimha Murthy has appeared today, so we have to fast till evening. And often it so happens that we'll fast till evening. He says, Lord Narasimha Murthy, he could have appeared early in the morning instead of so late in the evening. We will say like that, won't we? We will think like that. We will not say it because we are devotees, he says. Who won't say it? But what Shastram is saying to us is that Narasimha Murthy is saying, I have appeared to get cursed by all these people. They will also think like that, wouldn't they? Narasimha Murthy will curse us also for that, for thinking like that. We won't say it, but we will think like that. Similarly, we are like those appearances who appears in the morning. Because at least you can have your prasadam at the middle of the day. But those who are coming late in the evening, they cause so much depression and uneasiness. So you have to wait till evening. Janmashtami particularly. Middle of the night you have to wait till then. And by then all your taste is gone. You can't eat anymore anything. And you are tired, exhausted, everything. So, and you see, Krishna feels so happy that, oh, he's starving there for my appearance. No, it's all this one thing only. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yoga manasa samadhi. That is the proper understanding of that, not otherwise. So, Krishna is saying here that these two verses, what begins with that, this verse 46 and the 46 and the 47. So every experience here, every experience depends on the world and the mind. That's all it is. Everything what you experience here, good or bad, no matter what it is, it's all dependent on the world and dependent on your mind. Nothing else. Nothing else. So experience is the interaction of this mind and the world, isn't it? When you say experience, what is it? It's the interaction between the world and the mind. So they together generate this experience. Who? The world and the mind together. They generate the experience. But the primary role is played by the mind and the secondary role is played by the world. Or the what we call as the setup. What is set up there in the world. Therefore, we should take care of both the setup as well as the mind. Not that you can completely reject. Okay, if you are so advanced spiritually, then you don't have to worry about the setup anymore. You know where to correct it all the time. But till you have reached that state, while correcting the mind, you have to be conscious of the setup also. How the setup is influencing the... Because sometimes correction may not be possible in all instances. The world is so powerful and the association of the mind with the world is too strong in that situation. So if how to manage this both together, that is the question, isn't it? We can have a wonderful arrangement. For example, we say all materialistic activities, we say laukikam, materialistic activities. I use for setup and for all worldly activities. For example, I do like the doing business, earning money, and all these things are the setup world, isn't it? So, can be set up for setup improvement, whatever improvement that is necessary, allocated that way. Wherever improvement you can do, you have to do that. But, other things like in relationship with the Vaidya karma, that means your spiritual activities, which we call as spiritual activities. Generally in the Vedam they call it as Vaidhya Karma. Vaidhya Karma means that your spiritual discipline. The other side is the material discipline. Material discipline is the Laugika Karma. Spiritual discipline is the Vaidhya Karma. Just like getting up early in the morning, bathing and chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, doing deity worship. This is all Vaidhya Karma. So Vaidhya Karma also requires this disciplining, and this material activities also requires that discipline there. So that is why Krishna is saying Laugika Karma, the Laugika Karma you have to adjust in such a way for the success in the world, for the success in the world. And Shastrika Karma, the karma that has been given to us from the Shastram, that is for controlling the mind. That's for controlling, that is how you correct the mind. When you say, okay, the experiences of the world, the mind interprets, is it not? So we have seen that depending on that interpretation, we become more positive or negative in this world. Now, as far as the events in the world are concerned, what happens there, some adjustments are necessary there also, is necessary, which are our materialistic activities. That adjustment is necessary. But even if you adjust that, that's not good enough. Internally, we have to adjust our mind. That is our spiritual disciplining. In that spiritual discipline, Krishna is saying here, that is for Manojayam, for controlling the mind. Now, both of them, whether it is Laukikam or Alpiyam, Alpiyam means spiritual, either way it is no matter, not doing anything is not Manojayam. That also you have to know. By not doing anything, you're not going to win over the mind. What is required is that the mind, when it is disciplined properly through spiritual activities, it will filter everything what should not harm to us. That is what spirituality does. It will filter the mind in such a way that this interpretation business will change from the mind. At that point, when it is needed, mind will bring that discipline. This discipline helps that. That is why spiritual activities, you can never give up. It has to remain all the time. Even very advanced people, they engage in sadhana. They engage in sadhana for this reason. Because sadhana, what it will do, is that when the mind is interpreting in the wrong way, sadhana will come and correct it properly. Shastram, knowledge of the Shastram, your spiritual activities, everything will give the strength to the mind to make that correction at the appropriate time, where it is required and when it's needed. So that is why Krishna is saying here also, the setup is concerned, we can or we cannot done. That varies. There is not much of a control on that, because there are so many other factors involved in the setup, in the world is concerned. What happens, because we are not able to be happy, because we are never happy, because religion also we use for, when you start using the religion for material benefit, then everything goes wrong. That's where things go wrong. You see, as long as we recognize that spiritual life is only for spiritual advancement, not for material benefit, then it will help. But suppose the setup or the world you are trying to correct, it's difficult to correct the world. That has its own difficulties, complications there, isn't it? Suppose you accept a job, you have to go by the rules laid by the company or the management. You have to go play by that. There's very little you can maneuver there. Not much you can maneuver anything there. But inside you have your spiritual life completely separate from that. Where spiritually you have spiritual discipline and spiritual activities. Knowledge of the Shastram, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the reality, all that things. And all the benefit that comes from that is meant for giving the strength to the mind to accept what's coming from the external world and to filter them out at the right time when it's necessary. It should do that. If the mind does that, then you can say that your spiritual activities are helping you and the mind is slowly coming under control. It will come under control eventually. Or what will happen is, if you have gone very far in that point, at one point, the mind will tell you, mind will make the decision that I don't need all these things anymore, and you will completely pull out from your material life. Material life will itself will say goodbye and go. You may not have to say yourself. The mind will make the situation, because today what's happening is the mind is putting us in this awkward situation, whether to live in the material life or in the spiritual life. Majority of the time, material world is pulling back into the material life again. We don't want so many things, but the system is such, the setup is such that you're a part of that. What Krishna is saying, Brahmana is saying here is that a point will come that when the mind has become successful in its ability to deal with the world, whatever the negative, without any negativity, it will withdraw from the world. That is the advantage. Otherwise, if you, normally people go to Himalayam, take sannyasam when you're fed up with the world. That's not good. Because what will happen is, when you go there, your mind has not been changed. And then you look for sense gratification there, after going there. That's wrong. That's not vairagyam. Sometimes we get fed up with the world and then they take to sannyasam. Or go to Himalayas, as I say, and change the clothes and live. No, that's not the answer. Manojayam has not happened. That is the point Brahmana is making here. This Avanti Brahmana, he is telling us this, that without controlling the mind, and the mind has come under control, no matter where you go, still you are spiritual. You are not different. You have reached that state. So, your effort, he says, that is why he begins here with a number of things he is going to talk about here. That whether it is charity, whether it is your sodharmam, or whether it is yamam, niyamam, vedam, karmam, or sadvratani, all your fasting, all other processes, what you are doing, everything. So, if you take this verse, practically what it is saying to us is, spiritual life is very internal, very much an internal thing. Internally, how much time you find to devote for spiritual life, for internal development. That antarmukhatvam, inward-looking nature, is what takes you further in spiritual life. Otherwise, you can see sometimes people who have done so much service, devotional service, in this world. 30, 40 years, they were doing devotional service. And they were, there's nothing that they've not done. They've done everything. Whatever you can point out in devotional service, they've done all that. And then one fine morning, what happens? They fell. They lost everything. Suddenly gone away. Why? Mind was not under control. You don't know when he will cheat. This mind will trick us. So, if the mind has not come under control, all our so-called spiritual advancement also is false. Is false. That's the point. That's what the Brahmana is saying to us. It's all false. You may have done so many things, but if your mind is still going through this difficulty of what he expressed in the last three verses, then your spiritual life hasn't gone very far. So, we'll continue these verses tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada.